get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers. The News Junkie is on. The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day. The News Junkie, Sean Wasson, with Sabrina and C-Lane.
The News Junkie for a Friday, April 2nd, 2021. Lots to get to today, from Easter weekend mayhem to Hunter Biden's crazy interview stories and the greatest Girl Scout ever. Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
How we doing?
You know what? You are going to join us on the show today, too. I demand it. Download the app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store right now, and you could get your thoughts in, whatever you think about what we're talking about, or if there's some we're not talking about that we should be, hit us up and let us know what's on your mind with the dispatch from the News Junkie app. I was checking the email, tips at the News Junkie, right before the show, and there in the inbox was a message from, I mean, brace yourself, the Easter Bunny.
Say what?
Yeah, the actual Easter Bunny said this.
Have a great Friday, you mother.
I can't believe it. We did it, everybody. Boop, boop. We dragged ourselves through another week, from a Monday to a Tuesday to a Wednesday to a Thursday, and Friday and the weekend have arrived. You did it. Pat yourself on the back. And we're going to have some fun today on the show as we head into, I mean, a big weekend, right? Was Good Friday is today?
Yes.
And that means we do what now? Am I supposed to do something special or?
We're not supposed to eat anything today, I think.
Not at all?
No, you're supposed to just not snack. It's the weird fasting.
I don't know if I can. I already snacked.
You're not supposed to eat meat either. I already screwed that up.
Yeah, we're not doing well so far, but hopefully you're doing better than we are out there. Let's put our ears to the ground, our fingers on the pulse. Let's see what's happening in this great big wide world of ours. And we have now baseball season off and running. And there was a game yesterday between the Mariners and the Giants, baby. And they were battling it out on the baseball field with fans in the stands.
What?
It didn't take long to be reminded of something. People are really annoying at baseball games. So let's put our ear to the ground here and listen to this woo girl who wooed during the entire damn game on television.
One. Wow, patient bats, mate. You called it. First Rise walk. Dylan Moore with one. Jake had one earlier.
She did that for the entire game. Which I don't even know how you do that with your voice. I would be hoarse afterwards.
Couldn't even do the first one.
Yeah, I can't even get that high. That's higher than I could get. There you go. Now you're in the ballpark. Do that for a whole baseball game.
No.
No, thank you. No, every single pitch, every single everything. They said there was a fan at the Mariner Giants opening game who drove viewers crazy by constantly yelling woo during every single pitch. People saying the woo lady makes me realize I actually don't miss people.
Is there only one crowd microphone? Or are there, like, a few throughout the stadium?
I don't know how they mic something like that. Like, they obviously have to have something to get the crowd sounds piped in there. But at least when they were doing the fake sounds, you didn't have random woo people involved.
But also, fairly impressive that she was able to hit an octave that drowned out everybody else, an entire stadium, and you could hear her woo perfectly.
Yeah, and then she could tell her friends, she'd be like, I'm at the baseball game. Listen for the person screaming woo.
I like, you gotta wonder if sometimes people do that on purpose to, like, go back and look at the telecast and see if they made themselves on TV. Like,
look, I did it!
Especially in a studio audience of, like, a comedy show or like, a late-night television or SNL or something. Like, every once in a while, there's somebody in the crowd who has an obnoxious laugh.
Sure.
Like, everybody's like, ha, ha, ha. And this one's like, ha, ha,
that's
ha,
like the, ha. That's like the Fairweather fan that goes to one golf tournament, and whenever Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson or whoever goes for their drive, as soon as they hit the ball, they go, get in the hole! And you're like, he just barely hit the ball. He just barely hit it. You're calling
But it got in the hole.
And, but you hear him on TV every single time it happens. This lady prompting a lot of comments. Woo Lady is already a top-tier Seattle sports villain, somebody says. And then they say, to this Woo Lady in this game, STFU. And not sure if that worked, if that message got across, but people were reacting to her during the game yesterday. After the show, I watched that documentary finally on HBO Max that we were talking about. And this is the one called The Last Cruise, which was about the Diamond Princess.
That's right.
Off of, I think, Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And all of the people that were on the ship were like filming stuff, and they put it together into a documentary. So the first thing that surprised me was it's really short. Like, it's 44 minutes or something.
Which is ironic considering how long they were on that damn ship.
Right, yeah. I guess they didn't have enough to stretch it into like 2 hours or whatever. So it's like 40-something minutes long. And then I started thinking about something else. Because there's all these scenes from inside the cruise ship and from people who are crew members who never got to stop working and who were worried about their safety to people in like the VIP suites. They're filming all of this stuff that's happening. But the thing that caught my attention was there would be moments when one of the crew members would, you know, come around and knock on the door for a check-in, and you would see the couple go up and open the door with their masks on, but they had like the camera set up watching them go answer the door. And I thought to myself, why would any normal person do this? Did they contact them as they were on the ship, as this was going on, and say, hey, we want to do a documentary about what you're living through right now? Because otherwise, what are the odds that all of these couples in all of these cabins filmed themselves as they were going to the door when people came around to check in on them?
It could be that it was maybe one of the passengers, someone who has experience in that, and gathered everybody. Well,
said
he couldn't
stuff.
Technically gather. They called each other on their cruise phones, right, and said, start filming everything. It's an interesting point, that's for sure.
It seemed like maybe somebody said, hey, I'm about to film something. We want to chronicle what your experiences are there, but we'll miss them if you don't film them.
Or these people are social media influencers already?
They weren't, though.
You sure?
Yeah, they were like older couples, mostly. Yeah, there was some guy.
Maybe they were contacted then.
Some guy ran like a religious rehab. There was a bunch of different types of people.
Oh, they film stuff there all the time.
There was also like a bunch of really sad moments where, you know, there'd be a couple in the cabin, and a ton of people on this cruise ship ended up getting COVID-19. And sometimes it would be a couple and they'd go, you're the husband, right? And he'd go, yeah, you tested negative. Your wife tested positive. She's got to get out of here. And they got to take her to a strange hospital in Japan so she could be in isolation and stuff. And they split up the couples. And
that's so scary, man.
Yeah, it was so frightening. And when they split up the couples, they're coming in those, like, spacesuits, you know, like, all covered up and some out of Breaking Bad. It was wild to watch. And the other thing that you'll notice if you watch this was how bad the leadership was in the United States of America at the CDC. They play the clips as things were happening. And you hear people like Fauci going, this is nothing we have to worry about. We don't need to wear masks. People don't need to be. All these things just butchered it in the beginning 2-3 months of this whole thing. And I think this kind of highlights that in real time during their experience. But it was crazy to watch. Anybody planning anything big for Easter weekend?
You know, just get reflection.
Yeah, just time, relax, breathe.
I'll be doing the shirts.
Oh, yeah, the shirts. The shirts take up a lot of time.
Yeah, they do.
So that'll be a lot of your weekend. Celine, you doing anything big for Easter?
For Easter? No, I haven't planned anything specifically. But
do you grow out of Easter? Is that what's happening here? Like, we're too old to do something for Easter. Is that what's happening?
Unless you're religious, then you're probably going to church.
But I'm saying, like, for... Not the religious aspects, but do you flat out grow out of the Easter bunny type stuff? Like, you're not going to get Ashley, your wife, like a bunch of candy and a basket and that kind of stuff.
No. I mean,
you just inspired him. He's like, yeah, no, maybe I should.
I've done adult Easter baskets before.
Wasn't it adult Easter basket?
I've been given them.
Alcohol?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds a
lot
better.
I was given an adult Easter basket as well.
I've never given an adult Easter basket. I feel really left out right now. Courtney, if you're listening, this year's the year. I want an adult Easter basket, and I want this thing loaded up with all the booze. What else goes in it? Anything else?
You know, maybe some candy, cigarettes, if that's your thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's
sure.
So Courtney,
thanks,
you know,
Easter bunny.
Courtney, I'm just putting in some like tips here.
Oh, many people who are listening right now are probably going to be flying this weekend. They said the airports are expecting their busiest weekend since the pandemic began. And hundreds of thousands of passengers are piling into big airports like right here, MCO in Orlando, or Palm Beach International Airport down in West Palm Beach. So there will be a ton of people crammed into a ton of places. And I'm sure a lot of people will, for the first time, be seeing all this new tech at the airport, which is so weird, which tells you if, you know, people are getting too close to one another and all the different stuff that they've installed since the last time you've been to the airport.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting for us, too, coming up, because we're all flying soon.
Yeah, international for the first time.
And so that means that tomorrow we all have to go get tested.
Yeah.
Oh, which I'm excited.
I'm excited. It's weirdly nervous because you're like 99% sure you haven't been exposed to anything. You don't have any symptoms or any of that. But it's just like the fact that a single little nose swab could keep you from a very amazing vacation.
If there was a mix-up or something, then you're not going to the broadcast in Jamaica next week. That absolutely would be devastating.
Yeah, but I'm worried because I know that you had some mild symptoms. You felt like your ass was kicked and all that.
After the second shot?
I take mine today after the show.
Oh, really?
So and I've had like people reach out to me like, what are you doing Saturday? Hey, it's Miguel's birthday. What's going on? And it's like, listen, I can't commit to anything.
I might feel like I'm dying a little bit.
Yeah, right. You're Moderna too, so it could be different than the Pfizer vaccine that I just had the second shot of. But if it's anything like I would expect, you will take this second shot today. You'll feel absolutely fine. You'll go drink your ass off, and you will wake up tomorrow like a Mack truck hit you. You'll be like, oh, my God.
What happened?
Well, for me, that just sounds like a normal Saturday.
It'll be even more elevated than a normal Saturday.
The Mack truck will be more like it hit you in your arm.
It'll still be on top of Sealand. The Mack truck will be still wheels on your body. And then about 12 hours later, you feel absolutely fine and you're good to go. We got so much to get to on a Friday here. We're going to hear from you. Your dispatches from the News Junkie app are on the way. Plus, a woman won April Fool's Day for the worst reason I can ever think of. Wait until you hear what she did as an April Fool's Day prank that led her to be handcuffed and carted off to jail.
All right.
That is coming up next. Stay right there. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Be like the smart kids. Like the summa cum laude of your workplace.
What?
Tell your smart device to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
From the...
Forever at the crossroads between viral news and total chaos. This is the News Junkie.
So tired of the same old crud. Sweet baby, I need fresh blood.
Well, I'm always kind of glad, you know, when April Fool's Day is over. As you don't wonder, everything that happens to you, you're like, is this real? Is this an April Fool's Day thing? What is this? It's happening to us.
And... bit of a roller coaster. I ended my day being April Fool's.
Oh, did you? You got pranked yesterday. What happened?
I ran into a friend, and he's like, hey, it's my birthday. I'm like, oh, my God, happy birthday, man. Let me buy you a shot. And and then I bought him a shot, and he's like, yeah, I'm 4 years old today. And I'm like, oh, it's April Fool's Day, and this is the moment I felt the most a fool all day long.
And he just goes from place to place and does that, gets absolutely hammered.
Oh, he was hammered.
I fell for one, sort of, because I sent my friend a screenshot of a tweet from Total Wine. Most of the texts to this friend are all about pickle stuff, because she's obsessed with pickles.
That's a very particular text thread.
Yep, it's just she really likes pickles, fried pickles, any kind of pickles. And so I'm always like, her dog's name is Pickles, and so I'm always texting her stuff about pickles. And Total Wine announced that there was a pickle brine wine that was coming out.
That sounds gross.
And I sent it to her, and as I was hitting send, like as the sound was playing, I realized... it says released on 4/1/21. This is a definite April Fool's joke.
Damn.
Yeah, sometimes they get you. This one was an April Fool's prank that went horribly wrong. This woman wins for this week. You know, this week was April Fool's, so this woman just takes the cake and wins the whole thing. And I always wonder what prompts somebody, number one, to think that this would be funny, and number two, to think that they would not go to jail for it. So this woman's Arthea Willis. She's not a kid. She's 58 years old. You should be over your April Fool's pranks, I think, at that point in time in your life. but she decided to pull off some jokes, and she started calling her family members. And boy, oh boy, did she have a hilarious prank for all of them. It led to this news report.
In April's fool's prank ends in an arrest. Police say 58-year-old Arnthea Willis of Wichita called a family member this morning saying she was shot. That person then called 911. First responders rushed to a home where they thought the shooting happened. No one was there. Officers found Willis in Derby unharmed and arrested her.
They arrested her. She faked as an April Fool's prank, calling up her relatives and being like, oh my God, I just got shot. Call 911. And, I mean, they actually called 911?
I would hope so.
That doesn't seem like a prank. You don't see the funny side in that?
No. If you wanted to take that route, there are so many other things that would make them, you know, second guess and chuckle. Like, oh my God, I accidentally sat on a Yankee Candle. Like,
right.
Call 911. Then they'll say, wait, are you kidding? Not shot, because that does happen and people would take it seriously.
And you say you got shot, right? I got shot. Oh my God. And then you hang up, and then you don't at the end of your phone call go April Fool's. So this is not an April Fool's anymore. An April Fool's phone call would have been like, oh my God, I got shot. Again, terrible idea. But at the end you'd inform them, hey, guess what? April Fool's. She just hung up the phone. And now the first responder is coming. I'm thinking, did she think she was just going to dance out the front door and be like,
look at me, not shot.
Just like,
gotcha.
Announce to them, no, I wasn't really shot. I didn't do that. I didn't pull it off. Now she's in a world of trouble.
So what's the charge? Because she didn't call 911.
Mm-hmm.
Her family did. Her family had every right to, and I mean, it was well within their reasoning to say, hey, you know, our family member just got shot. And we need to call emergency services for them.
That's a very interesting question. And I want you to pretend you're her representation in a second when I tell you what they've charged her with, okay?
Okay.
Arthea Willis, 58 years old. She called a family member, said she'd been shot. The concerned family member called 911 at 8:30 in the morning. Dispatchers sent cops galore, EMS, firefighters. They thought there was a shooting at this house. They surrounded the home. They blocked the streets. They tried to reach out to anybody inside the home. They did not get a response, so they busted into the house. It's totally empty. They investigate. They learn it was an April Fool's Day joke. She was found locally and arrested. Here you go. Police say the crime is unlawful request for emergency service assistance, which is not even something I've heard from before, but they said unlawful request for emergency service assistance. And I guess that's like you told somebody to call 911. So they called 911 thinking you were lying, but you were lying to them, which caused the call.
Well, okay. we probably never have heard of it because a normal adult with a, I don't know, 50% working brain would not do this.
Sure. Yeah. One would hope so. One would hope this was the only lady who did it yesterday.
I mean, I guess I would have as her representation a better case if she didn't tell them to call 911. Because now she has initiated, you know, they're doing this on her behalf. If she just called and said she got shot.
Yeah, let's say she never said to them, call 911. She just said, oh my God, I've been shot at my house. And then they call 911. I guess you could argue, look, I didn't solicit for them to do this. I didn't tell them to call 911. There may be like some wiggle room and loopholes here where you as her attorney can work your way out of this case. But for now, Arthea Willis wins for April Fool's Day.
Just going to have her plead the fifth all the time.
The whole time on the stand.
1, 2, 3, 4, fifth.
We're going to go to your dispatches in the, from the News Junkie app in just a moment here. But I wanted to tell you about this story. This has never happened to me. And I'm guessing, Sabrina and C-Lane, this has never happened to you either. But talk about an awkward situation. So there is a resort in Central Florida in Kissimmee. It's called Champions
you
World
mother
Resort.
Effer.
You have enough stories for this week in Florida. I'm stealing this one, C-Lane. This place is called Champions World Resort in Kissimmee. And they said that all the people who were at this place, people who had reserved it for spring break, people who were hanging out at the hotel, they were all told all of a sudden, hey, we're closed. We're firing everybody. We're kicking everybody out of the hotel. The hotel has been sold. We're not refunding you. There's no warning. The building needs to be cleared out right now. And there's people who have flown from all over the country to go to this place. and absolute pandemonium breaks out.
I mean, was it sold to another hotel company?
I don't know. They just said the hotel's website posted a message confirming the hotel had been sold. Hours later, the whole website was shut down, and then they said guests were kicked out and every employee was fired. How do you do that? What, you're like out for lunch having some drinks and you sell the hotel and immediately the other person takes ownership and everybody has to leave? That doesn't sound right.
Oh, I'm not in the hotel industry by any means. My girlfriend has been for quite some time, worked for a company that buys and sells hotels. And it's usually like a couple days and a few papers to sign and things to confirm maybe with the bank. And then usually if there's any sort of transition, well, that there's a transition.
Yeah, like, you would let the people, like, their time expire, and they check out of the hotel.
And other employees, and make sure that things are running smoothly, because usually it's another hotel company that buys it, and therefore can continue business.
Yeah, this is like, that's, I remember, weird. There was a place on Okeechobee Boulevard. I think this is where this happened. It was one of those steakhouse places where you throw the peanuts on the floor, you know?
Oh.
Like Roadhouse?
Yeah, I think it was a Roadhouse grill.
Roadhouse.
And when employees, they all showed up to work one day, and there were chains on the door, and there was like a note. Hey, we're closed. That's it. You know, like nobody tells anybody. Nobody gives anybody a heads up.
That's a lot more common in a restaurant, though.
Like, why?
I get it. Like, and if you're a cool guy and you trust your employees, you give them some notice and you're like, hey, you know, this is what's going on. We understand if you like they try to avoid two things when they're closing a restaurant. People freaking out and quitting ahead of time, and now they don't have enough staff to last until the end of days.
So they know they're going to close. They're just trying to make sure people keep coming to work until the last day.
Yes. And then B, they don't want the employees to just horrendously loot the place, knowing that they're never coming back and the restaurant's going to be closed.
Soap. I don't know. I still hate that, though. That's so scummy.
But it's just, and I know there have been restaurants where they're like, all right, guys, you know, this is our last day, or this is going to be our last week. And that's like a little more close-knit family restaurant or something like that.
Sure.
You know, but for the most part, it's the same thing in radio, dude.
No, it is. Absolutely. Yeah. They'll go, well, we got a big meeting, all staff meeting. And they'll say, we're flipping to country music. You're all fired.
Yeah.
You hardly ever get told it's your last day unless you've had this long, illustrious career, because they don't want old Calico Jack of the Jack Shack. He's going to be like, if they tell him it's his last day and they were firing you after your shift, he's going to wreak havoc on the signal.
Which is why we have cemented ourselves in this company in just the right way. Sure, this show does amazingly well. We're number one in like every measurable demographic. We have huge numbers. But we've also shown the radio station that if they flip to country, well, we're instant country stars.
Better believe it. You know, I remember back when I just got out of my truck with my dog, and I'm like, let's do this.
We'll get into Boots, Scoot, and Boogie and Watermelon Crawl Talk just like that.
All day.
You want to flip over to Spanish? I mean, I'll Duolingo it up. We'll figure it out.
I just have a secret spot in the log. It's at a different place every day. And it's just my F everybody spot, and I delete it every day that I don't get fired.
It's like your backup plan, where there's a countdown timer if you don't reset it.
Now, you say that as a joke, but there is a clip of me that we did.
That's actually the one.
As a joke, where I say, F it, I quit. And then there was one time a couple years ago where something glitched. And there was, I think it was going to play for 15 minutes on a loop until Jack found out the last minute.
Could you imagine if that happened? They flip the station. They don't tell any of us. You're in your car, Sabrina. You're on your way home. You crank up the radio station and you get to hear in all its glory the clip of you saying, F you, I quit, just blaring out to the state of Florida.
Yep.
That would feel great.
I go, you know what? I'm going to grab some gas. I'm headed to Mexico.
Yeah, that would be one last victory over the man, I think. So we'll
do that, iHeartMedia. I love you.
We'll talk about your thoughts on all of this. We got dispatches coming in like crazy through the News Junkie app. You've got much on your mind today. We're going to hear from you. If you've never sent in a dispatch before, search for the News Junkie in the App Store. It's free for you to get, and you're joining us next on the radio. Stay right there. Plus, when we come back, a woman went to get her vaccine at a CVS And something very interesting happened. Don't miss this. It's coming up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Real Radio. Radio.
104.1.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity. And the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Beware the chat room. Trust us, you've been warned. This is the News Junkie.
So C-Lane said earlier, after the show today, he's going to get his second shot of the vaccine.
Get all boosted up.
You're also seeing a lot of places lower the age as of this weekend, as of Easter weekend here, to 16 years and older. So now it's going to open up to a lot of people. Here's the thing about that. Today, I think, in a couple of places, it was the first day for everybody 16 or 18 and over, and they filled those appointments like that. Just like rapid fast.
They had 3,000, at least what I saw this morning on the news. I don't know if that was just for the county or what, but no, 16 and 17 year olds still need like parents' permission.
Oh, do they really? Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't even think about that. That makes total sense. Yeah. And when they get out there, though, you know, they got to make sure they have an appointment already because these are going fast. And that's good. We want to see all this demand. And in fact, I've said before, and I really think they should push this. What you need to do is not talk about how you're going to punish people who don't get the COVID vaccine, right? See, Len, you're getting the second shot of the Moderna one, right?
Correct.
And I had the Pfizer one. Whether you have those or Johnson & Johnson, they need to not go, if you don't get one, here's how we're going to punish you. They need to go, if you get one, here's how we're going to reward you.
You get a cookie.
You're going to get something, and here's what you're going to get. First of all, the CDC says as of this weekend, if you are vaccinated, if you're fully vaccinated, you can travel as long as you're wearing a mask, which I don't know. I don't think it changes anything. I think everything's going to be exactly the same as it was. It's saying that you don't have to obey any quarantines in states in the United States, but I don't know that anybody was actually being strict about that to begin with. For instance, yeah, when we had that in Florida, remember?
Mm-hmm.
People were just flying in and they're walking through the airport.
No problem.
It was supposed to be if they were coming from New York,
mm-hmm,
and then the local news station showed up at MCO waiting for people to come in from New York. And have you guys filled out any of your paperwork? Are you quarantining?
Nah.
No, no.
I'm going to quarantine in my family's house and have a barbecue.
It was like an honor system that nobody was honoring.
What?
But if you found yourself in like Canada, though, I'm pretty sure that you had to quarantine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you went to another country, went to Australia or Canada or Europe anywhere, you know, England, you would have to quarantine like a hotel room or something.
Didn't one of the people interviewed claim, like, when he's like, well, aren't you supposed to quarantine? And he's like, well, I'm going to my family's house. My family has a really big house.
Yeah, there's somebody bragging about, like, you know, this is like an 8,000 square foot house. So we got plenty of COVID room in that sucker. What they need to do is start promising good stuff. Put a date out there. Say August 1st. All right. And I would hope that maybe somebody from the CDC who has screwed this thing up from the beginning, maybe somebody from the governor's office or anywhere else in power in this country would listen to this. Put a date down. Say August 1st. And say, if you're fully vaccinated by August 1st, here's what you get. You can fly, or you could already do that, but you get to fly without a mask on. You can go to concerts. You can do X, Y, and Z. Things that you're allowed to do that people who do not have both of the vaccines will not be allowed to do or won't be easy for them to get into. What is the benefit? And especially for young people, right? Especially for young people. If you tell them they can fly without a mask, you're going to have mega demand at the vaccine places, which is what you need. Because at some point, this will all drop off. The people who wanted to get vaccinated got vaccinated. You got to have some extras there. Maybe a tax write-off. Maybe, you know, just something that is a great benefit that makes people go, all right, I was on the fence, but I want to do this because come August 1st, I'd like to go on a cruise. I'd like to be able to fly to another country and I have to do tests every day. Give them a benefit and people will absolutely do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And to the people who are texting in, I don't know if they genuinely don't know the answer to this question or if they're just trying to freak us out because they know we have an impending trip coming up that we really don't want to miss.
Mm-hmm.
The taking of the booster shot will not affect a COVID test.
I know. We talked about that on Monday or something in the studio off air. We all talked about this because we were like, damn, that's a good question. Will it? And then we saw that it doesn't. And then I told you when I went to get my second Pfizer shot, I saw not one but two people asking the doctor in front of me that same exact question. But it doesn't. It doesn't affect the test.
And it makes a lot of sense when you explained it that way. The way the doctor said to your group was that it's checking for actual virus particles in your nose, mm-hmm. whereas the shot is in your blood
or your muscle, and, you know, in your arm, wherever they put it.
So if you took a blood COVID test, it would pop out positive?
It would probably say that you were positive for antibodies.
Yeah, because it's not active virus. They're looking for the actual active virus inside your bloodstream or wherever they're testing in these situations. So no, that doesn't affect it. Hopefully we all test clear. And if we do, you're going to hear us next week live from Jamaica doing the show, which is our little gift to ourselves and Jamaica's little gift to us.
We are going for work.
Yeah,
okay?
we're working in air quotes.
We're going for work. We're there to entertain people
mm-hmm.
and bring them with us so that they will make plans to go to Jamaica themselves.
And I think they will. You guys are going to have FOMO. Listen to this. It's going to be a blast, and you'll hear us there next week. If you listen to the show, you're going to be taking this journey with us.
Did you see the message we got this morning?
No, about what?
On our group chat.
Oh, you know, I saw a little glimpse.
I didn't see it.
They're going to be like video blogging. And so they were like, hey, you know, wear something comfortable, but we want to videotape you guys opening your doors and seeing your room for the first time.
Oh, really? Like we're in the real world or something? Like,
come on, welcome to my crib. I'm game.
Now, here's what I'm wondering. Do you think they're going to put all of our hotels at Sandals in Jamaica right next to each other? Or are they going to spread us out a little bit?
I don't know.
I mean, because I don't want you guys hearing all of the just riotous sex that is happening.
I was about to say the same thing.
I'm sorry. We're not turning this into a competition, are we?
I'm almost there.
I didn't say it was a competition. I'm just a little space would be nice. Maybe the walls are thick there. You know, they might be prepared for this kind of stuff. So
who knows?
Watch me show up and it's like, all right, we have two queens and a cot for you guys.
We're all in the same room. We never specifically said you all get your own room.
Well, remember I told you that Ashley has like an app for tracking certain things? The whole week is green light. Green light city.
You'll have to name your baby Sandals.
No.
Is there a chance that, like, we'll be in the middle of a show and you'll be like, guys, gotta go.
I gotta go. Is it by the hour?
It's not hourly. It's daily.
It's more like, okay, all right. Wow. Well, good luck.
But yeah.
Good luck there. I wanted to tell you about this. A woman who went to go.
You can play at that game, Sean.
A woman who went to go get her COVID vaccine shot at a CVS Pharmacy in a CVS Pharmacy in Norfolk, Virginia. They said she went. She thought everything was great. She left. She's like, oh, man, I'm feeling better. I'm excited that I'm on the process to being fully vaccinated. Oof, been a tough year or so. Ring, ring, ring. And she said, oh, my phone's ringing. She goes over, answers her phone. Hey, this is so-and-so from CVS. We accidentally gave you an empty syringe.
Oh.
There was nothing in it. Just it was an empty one.
Wait. That's not good.
What I thought.
Yeah, that's how people
die, right?
Die when they get air bubbles in their bloodstream. It might have to be directly in their vein.
I had always heard you could get like an embolism or something and you could die.
How? I mean, don't you see the liquid?
No, they said on Thursday, a CVS pharmacy in Norfolk admitted to administering an empty shot to a woman instead of a COVID-19 vaccine dose. I got it at 10:30 and I thought everything was great. I left and I got a call later that day from the pharmacy telling me I got a blank shot, right? A blank shot. Hang on, I think I got some more details here.
The woman we spoke to was relieved to get her COVID-19 vaccine shot Wednesday morning, but then she got another call to come back to the pharmacy to get another shot. For mom, Catherine Whitbit, getting the COVID-19 vaccine means protecting herself, her family, and others around her.
It's removing myself as a link in the chain of transmission, and it's important that I don't contribute to someone who's vulnerable getting ill and possibly dying.
Whitbit went to get her shot at a CVS pharmacy in Norfolk Wednesday morning. She got a shot, but not one that would protect anyone.
I got it at 10:30. I thought everything was great. I left. And I got a call later that day from the pharmacy telling me that I had got a blank shot, that I received a blank vaccine.
A blank vaccine? What's happening here?
Oh, that's what you got.
No, I got a placebo.
Yeah, well, it's a blank shot.
Which is a blank shot. But she's not supposed to get one. There's not even supposed to be blank shots around her anywhere. And they commented on this. Let's see what they say here.
We reached out to CVS, and they sent us this statement. Yesterday at our pharmacy on North Military Highway in Norfolk, one patient was inadvertently injected with an empty syringe instead of receiving a COVID-19 vaccine. We contacted the patient right away to apologize for this incident and asked that she return to the pharmacy so she could receive the vaccine. We are reporting it to the appropriate regulatory agencies and have taken steps to minimize the risk of this occurring again.
All right, just for the record, if you're a vaccine nut, you know, like all anti-vax and stuff, this is incredibly rare, doesn't happen much. I was just weirded out by the part where they said empty syringe, and I thought the same thing you both thought. I don't know if I've seen it in movies or if it's just something that we talk about.
Yeah, definitely in movies.
Like, if you got a shot of just air, you would die.
The way that I've seen it in movies is that someone will put an air bubble in someone's IV or directly into their vein.
Yeah.
If it was through the arm, and we might have to have some medical professionals comment on this,
I don't know
if it would kill you. But I can't imagine that it's great for you.
Or are we mistaking what empty syringe means? I just think it's a syringe with nothing in it. So you're just pushing, I would think air would go through. But let us know. If you're a medical professional, you've done this kind of stuff, you'll know what's going on. Send us a dispatch from the News Junkie app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. Let's go over to some of your comments. Here is Barista Brittany with a dispatch.
Hey, guys. I hope you're having a good day. I had a really interesting roller coaster of a day today. I was fired from my job in February, and as of today, I have a job again, so that's exciting.
Nice!
With something that I really want to do, but I don't know how plugs work, so I don't want to, like, plug anything, but I'm really happy, and I'm excited. And then my vet called me and said that my cat has a parasite, and they need me to bring in a stool sample, so roller coaster of a morning. I hope you guys have a good day, and if I don't get to dispatch in before you guys go to Jamaica, I hope you have a blast in Jamaica.
Oh,
I'm so excited for you.
Oh, God, it's getting a stool sample from your cat.
I guess it's way easier,
right?
Yeah.
Because if it's a dog, you got to, like, wait till it happens and pick it up. If it's a cat, you just got to crawl through that litter box and get what you need to get.
Yeah.
Bring it on into the doctor.
I got stool samples in my backyard. I'll go find one of those.
When the vet calls and says, we need a stool sample from Lexi, you're like, about what size are you looking for? Let me go back there.
How many days old?
Yeah, I can find a couple.
Let me take its temperature, see if this one's new.
Here's Heisenberg with a dispatch.
I used to work in a restaurant, and they can't say any names, but showed up for work one day, just like you said, chains on the door, locked up.
Oh man,
sorry, we're closed. And that was it. Received my final paycheck in the mail.
Why can't you say their name?
Never really did find out why they closed down. Must have been with all the critters in the back.
Oh yeah, I think that's so brutal that these places would do this. We were talking about this hotel, and they just told everybody, hey, I know you booked this room for the next 4, 5, 6 days. You're trying to have some spring break, some Easter fun, whatever. Too bad, so sad. Get out of here. And then the people said, well, we already paid you for our time at this hotel. We booked this place out. Well, give us a refund. No, no refunds. We're done. We sold the hotel. Everybody get out of here and be on your way. And that just seems like a brutal way to handle things.
Do we have Moses coming on today? Because they might have some sort of recourse there.
Sure, I would hope so. Yeah, I'll run it by him and see if we can get him with us today to chat about this situation and many other things that are going on around the world. We'll get to your thoughts. Hopefully some of you medical professionals chiming in with a dispatch from the News Junkie app when we come back. Lots to get to on the show today, so stay right where you are. When we come back, C-Lane, boy, do I have a story just for you. Right here. Right here. A story just for you. You've been waiting for this to happen. You've been asking for it, putting it out there in the universe.
Getting a race?
That now there's a chance that this thing,
Power Rangers reboot,
which is better than the Power Rangers and better than a raise, may happen at some point in time. It's also super creepy, and it's coming up next.
Okay.
It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Your chance to double your stimulus is just minutes away on Real Radio.
Really?
Yeah. There's no point in lying.
I don't know.
Courtesy of MillsAir.com.
From the
filling in the gaps between the New York Times and World Star. This is the News Junkie.
Oh, C-Lane, this is going to make you so happy in the creepiest way.
You are setting me up for something here, man.
I don't mean to. I'm just being real with you. I would say this is something for Sabrina, but she's never expressed interest in this. She hasn't said, hey, when this happens, I really want to know about it. And, you know, somebody who has like one of something, well, I mean, a big deal. You're not quite the collector that you used to be. Somebody who has two of something, all right, now you got something going. But the more you get, the more impressive I think it becomes. And two of us have something in this room, that being a penis.
Right, right, okay.
And it's just one of them, though. We just have one apiece, and that makes us just, you know, fairly run-of-the-mill to have that. But there was somebody on Reddit one time
who claimed to
that did an AMA, like an Ask Me Anything.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they said, you know, Ask Me Anything, I have two penises.
I believe we saw a picture.
I think so. Yeah, I think there was a photograph, like the thing splitting off like a tree or something.
We also, shortly thereafter, spoke of a girl who was born with two vaginas.
Yeah, yeah, that's happened as well.
And then I think C-Lane had joined me on stage one time while we sang a parody of... What was it? She's,
I don't remember this.
I'll sing it for you. She's got two nanas.
Okay.
Twice the muff and just one dive.
Oh, just she's the two of us?
Yeah, that's what it is.
In this
two
case,
vagines.
You said afterwards, you know what's really going to take this to the next level? And I think somebody requested it immediately.
Yes, after the highly searched and read AMA and there's articles done about it. About the guy with two penises, somebody requested, excuse me, I'd like to talk now with a man that has three penises.
Well, buckle up, friends. No. An Iraqi baby is the first boy ever to be born with three penises, doctors claim. A boy.
Is there a picture of this boy's penises?
See, I told you it's going to be creepy. You're already asking for it. A boy from Duhok in Iraq is...
Iraq with three...
That almost seems too fake. A boy from Duhok in Iraq.
With a third.
that seems fake. It's a real story, I assure you. Had to have surgery because of this stuff. He was born with a 2-centimeter penis. Good for you, buddy. on the base of his phallus and another 1-centimeter one. So supernumerary penises are what they're called. And this happens in 1 in 5 or 6 million boys that are born. 1 in every 5 or 6 million boys that are born, you'll have somebody born with two wieners. And then they say they don't know any other instances of somebody to have triphalia, T-R-I-P-H-A-L-L-I-A, which would be three total penises.
Three peens.
There was one case they thought was happening in India in 2015, but they could not verify it, and it was never detailed in a medical journal. This is the real deal. It has never been recorded in medical literature until now, and this boy from Iraq someday will answer that AMA, one would hope, and talk of his life experiences.
Well, they removed it already, didn't they?
They said there was some surgery. It doesn't say if they, like, totally, you know, got rid of everything or if they left a little something.
Man, imagine being, like, I don't know, 12 to 15 years old.
Yeah.
And maybe you got like a girlfriend and she's like, you know, I've never seen like a scar like that.
What is that?
On a penis.
Uh-huh.
And And then you ask your parents, like, why do I have a scar? I didn't know that this was anything different. And they're like, well, you used to have three of these things.
Let me play this clip from a radio show
where they're talking
Florida.
About it. I would say let the kid keep them, all three. And you grow up, that thing's like
a jar?
No, keep them all on. Keep them all together. Let them all grow. It'll be like when you're a teenager, it'd be like a bop it. You'd have all sorts of like
twist it. Pull it.
You'd have all sorts of options to hit around.
Until he hits middle age and has to take three times the amount of Viagra.
No, plus I didn't think about, is only one of them going to be for, you know, going to the bathroom? Or would it be like a fountain type situation where...
Imagine if only one of them was for the baby fluid.
And it changed and the other, every time.
And the
like
other
one
two...
of those Coke machines.
The other two were just purely recreational pee.
So you
when
never
you
know.
When you started this off, you had a C-Lane wants three penises.
Yeah, C-Lane is very interested in having the guy with two topped, and now this baby has three, so at least there's some hope out
from
there.
The story that I heard from that guy, I think he's been topped a few times.
Oh,
really?
A homosexual?
I think he's bi.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that works out.
Well,
when you got two penises, you got to share with.
You got to put it out there in the world.
You got to spread.
One penis can be gay, the other one could be straight.
Exactly. See, it's like like the recreational one or the baby one.
You cannot be too tight to the vest with that kind of stuff. Put it out there in the world and let people see it. This baby is going to have an interesting life, I think. What are you seeing over there?
I'm not seeing anything. I'm picturing bad stuff in my head.
I like the idea that it would just. Random one each time, you know. You never know.
You don't know
which one's going to be the culprit.
In an argument, maybe with a sexual partner down the road, and it's like, why aren't all of your penises at attention? What's wrong with that? You don't love me?
There's a lot of weird problems that come with this, I think. And
baby, yeah. We're talking so much smack about his genitals.
If you're using one. And the wrong one fires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. just right out of there.
All over the new throw.
Well, let's keep on weird stuff here. A man who police saw strolling naked on a South Carolina street had an excuse for the officers who saw him walking naked. He said he was doing a, quote, walk of shame, unquote, as a penance for getting caught cheating on his wife.
Damn.
Michael Boatman, 41, was spotted by a sheriff's deputy around 1:10 a.m. as he walked on a Spartanburg street with, quote, just a clear bag over his genitals and a blunt in his hand. Oh, that's one way to go through your life, Boatman.
Oh, like you can't take anything, but fine. Grab the blunt.
What?
And need it.
What is the clear bag over the genitals doing? What is the function of having a clear bag over your
private? He was completely naked and found that on the ground on the way.
He's like, this is better than nothing. I'm going to put this over here now. Bowman, one cop reported, explained he was doing a walk of shame, which he needed to complete for his wife. A second officer noted that Boatman said he had cheated on his wife and was doing, yes, again, a walk of shame. He also reportedly referenced Adam and Eve from the Bible, saying he was willing to go to jail for his acts. They said he also...
For
his acts. They A-C-T-S. They say he also admitted earlier to taking some meth, so that may have played a part in this whole thing. At one point, he tried to run from the deputies, but he was taken to the ground and handcuffed. They put him in a squad car. He said, if you take me in, I'll try to escape from jail. And he asked a deputy to shoot him. So the deputy actually killed him.
April Fool's.
No, that didn't happen. That part, the rest of it was absolutely true. They said he was charged with indecent exposure, disorderly conduct, marijuana possession, and resisting the police. So don't do that. That's not a great idea. Let's go over to some more of your comments, your dispatches from the News Junkie app. See what's on your mind as we head into the weekend here. Here is No Hair, Don't Care with a dispatch.
Hey, News Junkies. Hey. Talking about these places closing abruptly. I've never personally experienced it, but I've always heard that the reason they do that is to prevent any employees or anyone who knows they're getting fired from stealing before they actually close the doors.
That's a brilliant point.
It is. I wish somebody would have said that on the show.
Me too, and now that he says it, I'm like, that is the smartest guy I think that has ever spoken on this show.
Yeah, he should be on the show, actually. Mm. This guy should be...
Great dispatch. Great dispatch.
Can you push buttons too? No hair, don't care, because it's a big qualification.
I think your drink's empty.
Sipping on his McDonald's cup over there. All right, what is he, invisible? No hair, don't care. He said this.
I like these people.
Here's Gen X Georgie.
So there was a bar that I won't name and a few years ago, and you know,
you guys can name stuff, man.
What happened to you guys today? Nobody wants to name anything. Like, I don't know the rules.
As soon as someone does, though, you go, buy an ad.
Yeah. But then normally they just do it and they don't ask.
I'd go in there every day and get my Guinness. And, you know, one day I go in there, there's no Guinness. And I'm like, oh, you know, so we're hanging around. Hey, everybody, it's time for fireball shots. They didn't reorder the fireball. No Guinness, no fireball. So, you know, I knew something was up. The other thing you can tell when these places start letting the bathroom just go to disrepair,
yeah,
that's the beginning of the end.
It's a sign that nobody cares enough because this place is closing down soon anyway.
I've been to some places that have been around forever and they gave up on the bathroom a long time ago.
Yeah. Have you ever worked at a place, Sabrina, that closed down like that? Like just randomly you go to work and the place is gone. It's done. Everybody's fired.
No.
I've never had that happen.
No. I worked for a place that I opened up, like, the restaurant with a bunch of people, and they did not start off very well. So I went down to visit my parents one weekend, and I came back, and they closed the doors on me.
Yeah.
Like, me and, like, 10 other people. They just took us off the schedule, but
But they didn't close down the place?
No, they just fired all the not cool kids.
Oh, you weren't in the in crowd there.
No.
Look, it just seems so rude to have that situation like we had in this story. A hotel decides, we sold. So everybody who's booked for this weekend, everybody who's booked for the week, get out. You're done, right? And everybody out of the hotel, it's sold, and you're not getting any refunds or anything. And we hear of a lot of places that have done that, unfortunately, especially these restaurants people are talking about.
I never worked for a place where I was showing up to work and they were closed, but I mean, I did. I saw the writing on the wall at one place that I worked at, and then I got a text from boss of sorts, my guy that was just like, yeah, it's done.
Is this where you're playing at the place?
Yeah. But I do know that my old roommate Beaver, who I play music with, he used to play at this place downtown all the time, and they I don't know if there was rumors about them or what, but they like got sold or they shut down and locked everything up. Well, Beaver played there the night before and was supposed to play there the next night, so all of his equipment was there.
Oh, man.
And he was trying like hell to contact whoever the owners were and be like, hey, this is not your stuff. This is my stuff. Just because you bought the bar or whatever with everything in it.
It doesn't come with my stuff.
It does not come with my stuff. And I think he had to like find somebody who still had a key to like, all right, quick, get in here. Get out whatever you can.
That's crazy.
And it was very unnerving for a second there.
There's a lot of stuff that we're talking about that sounds very illegal to me. Let's go over to Waterboys with a dispatch.
Yeah, never had a job like that where they just shut down on me, but I did work in a building in Maitland, pretty much catty corner to the iHeart Studios there, but the owner of the building called me up one day and said, hey, I just locked the doors on these people. They haven't paid me in like 4 months. And it was an IT training school. There were tons of people that were mad.
Oh, I imagine.
I was happy because the owner of the building came up to us and like, hey, you want any furniture? You want any of their materials? Any of that?
Plot twist. That wasn't the owner. That was another pissed off employee.
I have a great story. My old roommate back in the day, her father owns a bunch of properties, like business rental properties. Uh-huh. Same situation. We had to lock the doors. They didn't pay their rent. And he had his kids help to empty it out. Turns out what he thought was an art gallery was a full sex dungeon.
Oh, when he went in there, he realized it was something different?
Yes, and the pictures that she showed me, they had a giant wheel that they would stick people on.
Oh, that's freaky.
Mind you, this is in a residential area, Hollywood, Florida, beautiful, how you doing neighbor. Also a workout bike with a dildo on it.
Oh, really?
And,
that's advanced.
Let me tell you, this man, my friend's father, is the last person I would want to see with the dildo in his hands because of the awkwardness that probably seeped through that whole place.
I have to tell you, though.
He probably held it like this. Like.
I respect... He held it like the cop that was told to pick up John Bobbitt's.
I'm not gay. I'm not gay.
I ain't picking that up. I'm not gay. I respect the exercise bike / sex toy because you got to work for it, and you're getting a workout while you know you're getting your pleasure on. I think that there's like a potential business line down there somewhere.
I definitely would have picked up John Bobbitt's wiener. How many times do you get to tell people, I've touched a penis, but it was not attached to a man?
That was a great documentary, that whole series about the Bobbitt situation.
I really wanted the Water Boys Dispatch to be like, I've never been had a job close up, but the Water Boys is done. All of you are fired. Suck it, Hanan.
We'll be back in just a moment with more of you. Tons of you on the line here. Chocolate Milf Shake with another great dispatch. Limerick Lover, Brian, Dr. Rock. So tons of dispatches. And we'll hear you joining us. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store next. Plus, when we come back, places are struggling a bit as they open up for one particular thing. One thing is causing these places to struggle, and I'll tell you what it is next. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
Something on your mind? Text us at 77031. Standard data and message rates apply. Real Mobile is powered by Orange Buick GMC and orangebuickgmc.com. We are professional grade.
From the Radio.
No one's really sure what all C-Lane's buttons actually do. This is The News Junkie.
It's unbelievable. It's also kind of terrible because I feel like nobody's going to be able to ever beat this record. It's like, imagine you're working somewhere and they have a competition going on. And if you win the competition, you get like $1,000. And all the employees are revved up and they're ready to participate. They're hoping to get this bonus $1,000. And then somebody puts up a number so big that nobody's ever going to be able to beat it. And you're completely, the wind is taken out of your sail. And this is sort of what's maybe happened to every Girl Scout in the United States of America right now. 2021, they're off and running. They're selling the cookies. They're doing their things. And one Girl Scout in particular sold a couple of boxes. She did pretty well here. And I guess this is now the record for the most boxes. When you think about the Girl Scout, it used to be that you'd have like the little red wagon full of the cookie boxes.
Yeah, you'd have to post up, go door to door, make your parents bring it to work.
That was always a good one. You get your parents at a busy workplace to put these around, somebody's always going to buy those. Or we've talked about people going in front of the weed stores and stuff.
Yeah, we've all been there while they've walked through on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday fun day, and all the drunk adults or purchasing from the Girl Scouts that they go through downtown.
Give me those samosas.
Nope, samosas.
Samosas and samosas.
Oh, I'm both samosas. Of them. Then. I want to squish them together and make Thin a samosa. Mints. Samosa is actually an Indian food thing. It's totally different.
What you're about to tell me, though, I believe is going to piss a lot of people off, including myself, because I believe that number, without even hearing it, is going to be based on like online sales or something like that.
It's interesting the way this goes. Do you remember how many boxes you would sell when you were involved in this? No,
I got the badge, so bare minimum.
Got it done like double digits. You hit 10, 12, 20, something like that. How many do you think this girl sold for the world record?
I don't know. First, I need to know how she did it. Is there a clever way? Because I have in my head a very clever way. I don't know if it would be approved of because it would be a little on the creep side, but I have a very clever way of selling a lot of Girl Scout cookies.
And how would you do this?
Find an OnlyFans creator who said, listen, you don't have to pay for the next video. You just have to buy
a cookie box for of cookie.
Thin Mints. Yeah.
If your mom was on OnlyFans, then you got a real leg up here, right?
How did I sell so many? You don't worry. Mommy.
Light bulb
work.
create the website OnlyFansOfGirlScoutCookies.com.
How many things? How many do you think this Girl Scout sold, Zealand?
200,000.
200,000 boxes of Girl Scout cookies.
He ruined the game, right?
All right.
I'm gonna go 2,000 boxes.
32,000 boxes of Girl Scout cookies.
32,000. How?
So this is Lily Bumpus of San Bernardino,
Sounds
California.
Sounds like a Bumpus.
You might want to wait. She sold 32,484 boxes. That's 6,000 more than the previous record. They went out to locations in all 50 states, plus Canada, the UK, Spain, France, Italy, and Egypt. 5,200 boxes stayed put. Lily encouraged buyers to donate boxes as well. So, like, you could buy one, and then you donate an extra one. 1,000 each will go to homeless people, deployed troops, and 3 children's hospitals, which is pretty awesome that they're doing that. Lily is a cancer survivor, and she has the Team Lily Foundation. And because she was such a little kid and got national notoriety for fighting cancer and surviving, she had a big Facebook presence and like social media profiles. And she utilized that to get all those people to buy the Girl Scout cookies. And it just went
the previous record
nuts.
Holders like, come on, cancer,
How am I supposed to do this? I mean,
Bumpus.
Before this, 26,000, that's incredible. I mean, that's wild. That many boxes of Girl Scout cookies. And here's the thing. These Girl Scouts should be getting a cut of this whole thing. She's out there selling 32,484 boxes. What's a box of Girl Scout cookies cost? $5?
I think they're like $8 now.
$8? Do the math on that. What is it, $250,000 she made the Girl Scouts? I mean, net, but it's a lot of money. 32,484 times whatever it costs for each box. Let's say 8. 32,484 times 8 equals...
So 256,000.
So $250,000 from one girl.
Does the Girl Scout cookie money go to the Scouts in general, or does it go to their troop or whatever you call the group?
I don't know. I don't know how they break the whole thing down.
Because, I mean, like, they should definitely, like, send... her and all her fellow Girl Scouts in that little
yeah.
Hey, you're going to get a pizza party.
Not a pizza party.
$300,000 almost, but we're going to give you a badge.
If you sold that much in Mary Kay products, I think you would get a Cadillac, right? This is utilizing these little kids as little workers.
Yep, and it's been like that. Now, things may have changed where... they're offering maybe scholarships or something. But remember that movie Melissa McCarthy was in? I think it was like Boss Lady or mm-hmm. something like that. But it was the same concept of the Girl Scouts didn't profit. Then you had this ex-con white-collar criminal who made her own Girl Scouts in which the Girl Scouts actually profited for. Like there was a percentage that went back to their college or right into their wallets.
Look, we talk about NCAA players and how... the colleges make insane money off of them.
They're in the Supreme Court now.
Yeah. And I think they might win, and I hope they win, because this has been a screwy situation forever. The colleges profit immensely off of them. The colleges say, well, we provide them with free tuition. Yeah, but that money in tuition is then paid for by all the other people who are actually paying tuition at the college, because it makes the college more expensive to go to when you have better and better players on your NCAA basketball team. So these people are working. They're not getting paid any money. They could get hurt at any time. They could have a career-ending injury. There's just a lot of crap that would suck if it went wrong and everybody else is making money. And not only are you not, but if you get caught making any money, if you make a deal, if you get some sort of endorsement opportunity, you could be ruined as far as your future of playing goes. This is little kids in the same thing. You're saying, hey, little girl, grab that red wagon and go hawk some of these Girl Scout cookies. You sell $250,000 worth and we profit. You get yourself a badge. Congratulations. At least you did the good stuff by giving it to some of those great causes. The homeless people, the people who are fighting overseas, et cetera, et cetera. Real quick, before we get into more of your dispatches from the News Junkie app, there are a lot of things reopening. That is good news and worthy of a good news alert, I think. Yes?
Yeah.
Good news alert.
As more restaurants open in places like New York, seating capacity increases and diners returning to eating out are changing things. So some of these restaurants are struggling with what? They can't find staff who are willing to come back and work. And
I got that unemployment money.
Right. And I've heard this across the board. And that's why now they're talking about another stimulus, right? Like another stimulus after a couple of months here, which they're going to be calling part of the recovery plan. We've already spent trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And for the record, most of the studies say that a lot of people are just taking this money and just putting it in savings. It's not going back into the system like it should be.
Oh,
right
I
now.
Am stimulating the economy.
You're out there laptop.
Laptop, going to get more buttons, maybe another iPad.
But they can't get people to go in and work. They can't get people to go in. He's trying to establish a solid workforce, this guy Dean O'Neill, at his Slovenian restaurant, Pekarna. And he was forced to close because he cannot get enough employees. Waitresses that were working there left to become contact tracers in New York. Those are people who are trying to say if you got infected with COVID, who were you hanging out with? They're absolutely useless. They've not helped out very much at all during this pandemic, and they make a bunch of money, more than you would make as a waitress. And good for them, right? But it's also a problem that the state is competing with these businesses for this stuff. Bartenders going on unemployment. In the state of New York, they're like, why would I go in and work and put in these hours? This would be ridiculous for me to do. I'm better off not doing it. So as we eke out into things here, we still find ourselves in a position where there's a lot of people who aren't ready to go back to work for financial reasons. And they'll get out of it, right? I mean, the unemployment eventually is going to dry up. All these things are going to dry up. But right now, it's causing an issue for some of these businesses that have been struggling for so long. Let's go to a couple of dispatches. Here's Chocolate Milkshake with a dispatch.
Hey, News Junkies. I just wanted to give a shout out to C-Lane. I heard about your Uber situations and not being able to get a ride and having to go to the airport today. I tested it yesterday. So I tried to just pick up a ride yesterday to the airport just to see what the app said, and it said no cars available. So then I decided, okay, I have to leave for the airport today, so I'll schedule a ride. So put it in the app, scheduled it for 24 hours later, and up till 9 a.m., it says that a car is coming. It's 24 minutes away, 20 minutes away. 2 minutes away, it cancels.
Oh, that
then,
sucks.
Now I'm now waiting for the second Uber driver.
What a dick to the airport, too.
He's about 10 minutes away. We'll see if it actually happens. And I also have a friend on standby to drive me, too. She's on her way. This is crazy. It's ridiculous. But I just wanted to thank C-Lane because I would be all packed and ready to go and hit Uber and not on my way. So anyway, heading to the country of Georgia, not the state.
Oh, nice.
And we'll be listening from there. Happy Friday. Good Friday. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop.
Very cool.
She has to be the one that texted in yesterday when we were talking about all our travel arrangements and stuff, because it would be a huge coincidence that we have two listeners heading to the Republic of Georgia right
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
but there's a party.
Yeah, it could be.
I'm giving her a star, by the way. She always has thoughtful and good dispatches that are rolling through. So thank you for yours this time. We appreciate it. And I can hear her nice and clear each time. Have you still been having the Uber problems, though?
A little bit. Nothing makes my blood boil like the cancel.
Cancel somebody who's going to the airport. Like, that's really rude to do. They could miss their flight.
Well, they don't know that they're going to the airport.
Oh, they don't know that trip is to the airport?
No, they get a little ding that says, hey, there's a ride being requested. And then they're told how long the ride is.
Okay, so they don't know what the destination is.
So it says, like, hey, there's a 27-minute ride coming up.
Oh.
And but they don't know what the destination is. And they only know, like, your address, I think.
Gotcha. All right. When we come back, more of you, your dispatches from the News Junkie app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store now. Plus, the next episode with Sabrina. What's coming up on the next episode?
What's coming up?
Back
ask,
on.
Ask me one more time.
What's coming up on the next episode?
What's coming up on the next episode?
Take two was good.
Something wrong. I hold my head. He is gone. A plumber dead.
Oh, no.
Cash me online. How about that? Well, apparently a lot of creeps caught her online. And we have stimmy stiffies for everybody. Plus, move over, sweaty Papa John. Today is my day of reckoning.
Uh-oh.
Get ready, Sean. All that and so much more coming up on the next episode.
Stay put. Back in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
They're best friends. Unless they're fighting. Are they fighting? It's the News Junkie.
Well, thank you for hanging out with us today. We got so much more to get into, and we want you to join us on the show. You download the app to do that, right? Don't worry about calling. Don't worry about hanging out on the phones. Your time's important, and we could use technology to do this in a much better way. That's what dispatches are all about, after all. And you could find the app in the App Store for Androids or iPhones, and it's free. So search for The News Junkie in the App Store now. If you missed any of the show today or any other day, go into the iHeartRadio app and search for The News Junkie. Follow us over there or wherever you get podcasts. Search for The News Junkie. Everybody ready to get into things
here? Let's do the thing.
Here we go. Cheers. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV,
and you can't possibly keep up with all of it.
Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
I hate America.
Nothing.
Weather's nice. Oh. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina.
Hey.
What can I say? You know? Not a big fan, clearly.
Oh. I mean, you did call America a whore once.
That was a long time ago.
It was poetic. Are you ready for the next episode?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. The next episode.
She was about to look at me like, you're not ready?
The next episode brought to you by Home Loans Radio and homeloansradio.com. You can check out the Home Loans Radio show every Saturday morning right here on Real Radio 104.1. And then go to homeloansradio.com. And then work with the greatest guy in the world, that mortgage guy, Don. Homeloansradio.com. 22 years ago, 1989, the Mega Powers exploded. At WrestleMania 5.
Yeah.
Who was wrestling at WrestleMania 5?
Hulk Hogan.
That is correct.
No. Hulk Hogan.
No.
Nice backup.
Now, for 5 points that go nowhere, who was he fighting for the WWF title?
I know this.
Do you?
Andre the Giant.
No.
Damn it. I was so confident.
Ric Flair.
No.
Hey, Ric Flair's the woo guy.
Randy Savage, the Macho Man. What was his noise?
No. Snap it to a Slim Jim.
Yeah. Macho Man.
I'm Macho. Well, they fought for the WWF title and for Miss Elizabeth's heart. Guess what? Hogan won both. Hulk Hogan also won the title for staying alive the most, because Elizabeth and Randy are both dead.
Yeah, take that. He won.
How about that? Who's winning now?
Plus, he had that porn, too.
Who?
Remember that? Hulk Hogan.
That was a secret tape that he did not know about.
Yeah, that's something, though.
How about that? How about that?
Danielle Bregoli?
Yeah. Remember, it was like two years ago, I guess, that I went to her concert for research purposes.
That's right. She was playing downtown.
And I noticed, observed, and lived to tell the tale of me being the only person of age at the bar. And then all the other adults were either off to the side because their kids were there. And there was that chunk of the creepy old men who went on their own to see the 15-year-old. Well, now she's 18. And 1 week after turning 18, Danielle Bregoli, a.k.a. Bad Bobby, a.k.a. Cash Me Outside Girl, is now cashing in on her fame. Nearly 17 million followers on Instagram.
That's not bad.
And now she's moved over to another platform you might be familiar with, OnlyFans.
Yeah, I have heard of that. Yeah, usually adult-themed.
A week after her 18th birthday, and she broke a record. Danielle Bregoli says she made $1 million.
In one day?
In 6 hours after joining OnlyFans.
Is she naked on there?
I don't know. I don't. I'm not going to pay for this. No. I haven't picked
the You're not dedicated to your segment, yet. Are you? If you were dedicated to your segment, you would have signed up for the OnlyFans, and you were reported back and been like, you know, she's doing this and she's doing that. And you would have filled us in on what was posted on there as far as content goes.
I just think, like, she is just now 18. It's uncomfortable for me. It's amazing that she made so much effing money, because everyone was just counting down the minutes until she was 18 years old. Is there not a creepiness to that at all?
She's legal.
It is weird to think that you could look at a 17-year-old girl and go, at midnight, I can see you naked.
Yeah, that is strange. Yeah, and plus, If she,
I mean, it's been weird every time I've said it.
If she is on OnlyFans now, and she pops this out there, and she's got all these fans, if there's a bunch of content up there, was any of that content recorded before she actually did turn 18?
Let's hope not.
Or did they really wait until, all right, it's midnight, here we go.
They think she is going to, if she hasn't already, going to break Bella Thorne's record, because she made $1.3 million in 24 hours.
Yeah.
And it looks like Danielle Bregoli is going to be the new OnlyFans gal. Congratulations. Speaking of people that were naked, remember that guy who was arrested after swimming in Kendall Jenner's pool naked?
Yep. There's been a lot of these situations at celebrities' houses where crazies have invaded.
When I told you the story, at that point, it was like a day and a half after... Not even 6 hours after he was arrested, he was released from jail because of COVID protocols.
Yeah.
And then less than 48 hours later, he was arrested again for trying to get into Kylie's pool.
Can we keep this guy in jail for a little while, maybe?
His name is Shaquan King, 27 years old. The restraining order has now been put on for Kylie, Kris, and Kendall, and all the Kardashians, maybe. They say that his alleged criminal history in the documents, he's been busted for kidnapping. And has photos of her on his social pages. She says that he's left her in fear of her own safety. And, well, there you go.
Well, am I crazy here, though? Have we not heard, like, so many stories like this in the last 2 or 3 weeks of celebrities having these stalkers go into their house or go on their property or swim in their pool? It's weird that it's happening so much.
Yeah, the first, it was previously reported that he only attempted to get in the pool naked, but it turns out in the new court docs, he actually got into the water.
Oh, nice.
I have some sad, confusing news. According to Twitter, a very reputable source for all things facts, he's been murdered.
Who?
He's been murdered.
Who?
He's been murdered.
Mario?
Super Mario?
It's a murder. It's a Mario murder.
What happened?
He died. According to those on the internet. They say back in September, Nintendo relaunched their classic game Super Mario 3D All-Star, Super Mario Brother 35 for Switch console.
Have you seen the footage or the gameplay of that? Like the actual game video?
Yeah.
It's bananas. It
good
looks
stuff.
Amazing.
And then there's some stuff that looks just like it did when it was on my giant tube TV on Super Nintendo. Well, I guess all of that, when given nice things, they take away... they take away things, and I guess they've killed off Mario for some reason. So may he rest.
Fatality.
They say Mario dies tomorrow. Someone on Twitter, today is the day Peach killed Mario.
How do I?
They say here lies Mario, Jumpman Mario, 1981 to 2021. Quote, let's a go. End quote. Rest in peace. No, he's not actually dead, but for some reason, after the 31st, they took out all the games, and now they're not going to allow any physical copies to be resold, and then apparently digital copies as well. So
why?
If he didn't buy it beforehand, a marketing ploy.
Yeah.
He is not necessarily dead, but everyone on the internet thought so, so here I am to spread the rumor, right?
Okay.
Also, things that need to be spread or maybe just stopped immediately... White Boy Summer. It's here.
Well, we just started White Boy
Summer. White Boy Summer is here thanks to Chet Hanks.
Finally, I get a summer.
You know him. You maybe love him. It's coming. What exactly is White Boy Summer? Is it bad? Like, really bad? Is it good? I guess it depends. I'll give you the short clip of Chet Hanks explaining.
Hey, guys. Look, I just wanted to tap in really quick. I just got this feeling, man, that this summer is... it's about to be a white boy summer.
He's eating gum, just chomping on it.
You know, take it how you want. I'm not talking about, like, Trump, you know, NASCAR type white. I'm talking about, you know, me, John B., Jack Harlow type white boy summer. You know what I mean? Let me know if you guys can vibe with that.
Yeah. Yeah. You vibing?
You know, I...
Get ready, you know?
I would be easier in terms of my vibing with Chet Hanks there if I had...
Any idea
what he was talking about.
I guess you're not ready for White Boy Summer. Well, there are a couple rules and regs if you guys want that proper White Boy Summer swagger.
Well, I don't want to screw it up.
These are the rules as dictated by Chet, son of Tom Hanks. No plaid shirts because bros can't be looking like a picnic table out here.
Wow.
That's kind of rude. C-Lane's wearing one right now.
I feel targeted.
Oh, you feel like you should have a basket of bread on you? Picnic table boy?
Wow.
No Sperry top sliders, ciders.
No, he's just got regular flip-flops on.
No calling girls smoke shows, bros.
I don't know if he's done that before.
The
I could
term
see
is
him
played out, dude. You can't see a hot chick and call her smoke. That's over with. Anything salmon-colored, burn that ass. Time to go down. No cargo
definitely
shorts. No cargo shorts.
Wow.
Backward hats are good.
Oh, they're back?
Yeah.
All right.
Dad hats, iffy, just to be clear. Also, respect personal space at parties, especially while drunk. Flip-flops are good. Don't worry.
Oh, okay, so you're in a little bit.
But they are especially good if they are Gucci ones. Rock them with some socks, whatever, some sweatpants.
No, but they do open beer bottles.
Oh, okay. That counts.
Bad news for, I guess, any lesbians that wanted to be involved in White Boy Summer. Birkenstocks are banned.
Oh, that's
not kosher at all.
Great.
No Bush Light or Natty Ice for all kickbacks, pregames, or ragers.
No, we claw now.
Country music is most definitely White Boy Summer. And then no ill will towards anyone, straight vibing. Okay?
Yeah.
Everyone
all
got
right,
it? Pretty,
yeah.
Pretty clear? By the way, Sperry's got a kind of hold of the White Boy Summer
Sperry's
rules.
Sperry's topsiders, those are like boat shoes, right?
Yeah, well, they're really mad, so they decided they're going to do boat shoe summer as they throw shade.
I could get on
Chet
board
Hanks
with boat shoe summer. They should just all get on board with us and do pirate summer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's better than all of them.
Bring
ago,
it back.
Dionne Warwick dismisses Chet Hanks' White Boy Summer in favor of Black Woman Summer, so Chet Hanks has want everyone to know it's actually Brown Boy Summer, Black King Summer, Asian Queen Summer, Latin Queen Summer, White Boy Summer, and Black Queen Summer.
Can't we just have a summer?
Yeah, just call it summer, damn
it's
it.
It's everybody's summer. Congratulations. Oh, and I want to leave you off with this. Of an anonymous source over in the Hollywood movie world.
Yeah.
And my day of reckoning is here. This weekend, Space Jam 2, a new legacy trailer is premiering.
So
you
it's
heard
not out
it from
now?
Me first. It is out this weekend.
Send me the link right now if you can. I'll watch it right now.
It's not out right now.
Oh, it's not out. Okay. It's not out.
It's coming out this weekend. If you're listening to this now, I don't know.
It's almost like I've been hearing this for a while now.
Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Don't spit in mouths. Follow your dreams. And me on Instagram, at Sabrina Amber, just posted a new video. And say it with me, America.
Smoke weed every day.
Thank you, Sabrina. We're back in just a moment. Still so much to get to on the show today. Everybody on Real Radio 92.1 and 101.7. We've got two more hours for you to round out the week before we send you over to the Love Doctors. So stick with us. Don't miss any of the fun. When we come back this week in Florida.
Damn right.
C-Lane is ready to go. How many shebangs and how many humdingers is this going to be?
Well, seeing as we skipped last Friday, and now I have a fortnight of Florida to present.
Wow.
I'm saying it's going to be like 7 shebangs, 16 humdingers.
Woo! All coming up next and for free, friends. Get on board. Stay right where you are. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
We gotta do better.
Follow the public health guidance. Get vaccinated when it's your turn. And continue to wear masks and social distance to protect yourself and your fellow Americans.
Real Radio 104.1.
On the bright side, we're not dead yet. You're listening to the News Junkie.
This is the sound that we make. We only exist in the noise that we make.
This week in Florida, a roundup of all of the craziest stories in the state of Florida in just a moment with C-Lane. Don't forget, you can follow everybody, including myself, on social media. We're all over all the social media places
Facebook,
you would think
Instagram,
we would be.
Twitter,
yes.
Y'all see this?
Facebook.com/thenewsjunkie. Give the page a follow over there. And also on Twitter and Instagram, it's at thenewsjunkie. Don't even bother on TikTok because I get every once in a while I go, oh, that's right, I got TikTok. And I'll post something. But the rest of them at the News Junkie, you can follow along, and that's where I am. Sabrina's also on most of the same places, I think.
Yeah, you could follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Sabrina Ambra. I think most active on Instagram. But if you want to see some weird stuff, TikTok at SavvyCatCat.
And C-Lane is all over the place with different names everywhere, and some of you doesn't even know.
That's right. C_Lane on Twitter. where I don't post often, but I will troll you occasionally. The Clayne86 on Instagram, that's the one I'm most active on. I almost TikToked the other day.
Oh.
I almost posted another TikTok.
I still say your first TikTok was great. There's just nobody there to watch it.
It's fine.
It's just like shouting into an empty arena or something.
That was C-Lane407 on TikTok, but I was going to do like, you know, me and the wife try the new White Claws for the first time. You know, that's very TikTok friendly, I think. We just got lazy and just drank them without anybody watching.
You did the other part. You just didn't do the filming. The production elements were a little harder, I think. All right, let's get into it. Do I play the intro on this?
You play the intro.
Let's do it then.
For now.
Let's do This Week in Florida.
Giving you a recap of the most groan-worthy stories in the state.
It's This Week in Florida.
That's white.
Okay.
Second word in.
That's white, everybody.
Remember all those shebangs and humdingers I promised?
Just right out the window.
Down the effing drain.
He looks so confident, too. He's like pounding a little white claws. Bam! Here we go. That's white.
That's right. The weekend is here.
I can play the intro.
No. We've already done the damage. The weekend is here. It's time to take a trip around the Sunshine State and see some of the craziness that has gone on in the past 7 to 14 days or so, because we skipped last week. So now it's more concentrated, because I got rid of the fluffy.
It's all the good stuff.
The fluff from last week. But I do have an update, because remember we talked 2 weeks ago about in Clearwater, they were doing this walking tour of Scientology related things.
Yeah.
And the way they described it was that there was a guy that's doing this tour, and he's kind of mocking Scientology the whole time. Mm-hmm. The Scientology people, not a big fan of it.
This is kind of like how you do like a haunted tour around a city, right? Except Clearwater is so famous for the Scientology stuff, they're focusing on that.
Or they're doing a tour right now in Orlando. They're doing the office guided tour.
Oh, where, the murder mystery,
the
right?
The murder mystery where you're trying to find the Scranton Strangler.
Oh, I like that.
They did that in Clearwater or Tampa recently as well. But they had a guy that went on this tour, Robert Harris, walking around the Church of Scientology buildings on a cult city tour. And he decided to point his... I didn't know this was a thing. He decided to point his pocket laser at the church's various security cameras as a way to say, "Hi, I'm here. Here's my face. I see you." But the laser allegedly ended up causing $2,000 in damage to 6 security cameras on 3 Scientology buildings. I didn't know lasers could damage cameras.
So they're saying that if I see a camera outside somewhere and I just shine a laser pointer at it, I'm doing damage to that camera?
Have you heard of that before, or did Scientology just kind of make that up?
I've never heard. I know you're not supposed to shine them at a helicopter.
Correct.
Or
76-year-old Harris was arrested at his home and charged with one count of felony criminal mischief after admitting to the offenses that occurred on February 26th. I'm not going to fight the fact that I did it. I will fight the fact I was not purposely trying to hurt the cameras, which, I mean, I didn't even know you could hurt cameras like that. So I'd be freaking out if that happened to me.
I feel like Scientology's lying about this.
Yeah. More like Lyontology.
Hold your lawsuits, Lyontology.
Harris said police showed him surveillance images provided by Scientology officials that were peppered with black dots, allegedly a result of burn damage to the camera lenses from the laser. They also gave him a picture of him pointing the laser. So good for you. But he said, "Hey, I was just trying to say, hey."
That seems a little screwy that he would get in trouble for that, and that would actually do damage, I question.
This next one kind of hits home, and is a and I'm sure that if the person involved that we're going to be thinking of in just a second saw this story, they might think, oh, crap.
All right.
But there was a man who died Sunday, a couple Sundays ago, after jumping off a Panama City Beach hotel balcony with a parachute.
Oh, really? Oh. Like, what do they call that? Base jumping? Or
it's kind of like base jumping, but do you remember when that happened at your very own building?
Yeah, some guy jumped off the top. It was 36 stories
It was 55 West, which is a condo apartment building in downtown Orlando. There was a video of the guy jumping, deploying his parachute, and safely landing on Church Street.
This guy didn't have the same luck.
Never found out who it was. Never found out if he had any injuries, but this guy did not have the same luck. Police received a call at Sunrise Beach Resort. A man in his 20s jumped from the 14th floor.
Oh, man, that is not enough.
No, that's not high enough, I wouldn't think.
And it appeared the parachute didn't deploy. They don't know if the man was from Panama City Beach or out of town. A woman has been jailed for shoplifting. They say she was trying to shoplift nearly $1,000 worth of lighting from a Home Depot in West Boca Raton. And then I love that the journalist did a little bit of digging on this woman, mm-hmm. because they're like, you know, what kind of woman is stealing $1,000 worth of lighting? Turns out to be a woman who owns a $960,000 house.
Oh, all right.
So you would think, you would assume maybe she could afford the $1,000 worth of lighting.
Mm, unless she put all of her money into that house.
By the way, I just checked. That is really, really low to be base jumping, but somebody has base jumped before from 100 feet. And when I looked at where I was like, that would be cool. They base jumped from the top of Christ the Redeemer in Rio de Janeiro.
What?
That big, like,
yeah,
Christ,
the big Jesus.
The giant Jesus sculpture that's, like, in this beautiful place. They jumped right off of that guy, but this other person, yeah, they didn't make him.
They said Karen Berger, 44 years old, seen entering a Home Depot through the main entrance. She proceeded to the lighting fixtures and selected a whole bunch of stuff totaling up to $1,000, and probably a little embarrassed now that they know she is probably at least a little bit loaded if she owns that house.
That's crazy.
No good crime is only committed once. Mm-hmm. Something they say.
You?
It's a famous quote.
Something they say.
No good crime is only committed once.
No good crime is only committed once. And there are certain people who like to commit the same crimes, and they just have a habit of it.
Well, we know that lady who likes to stow away on flights. She likes to commit the same crime.
She likes to sneak on planes. We have Dr. Love, who is a star of This Week in Florida.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Usually. And then there's this guy, Jeremy DeWitt. And he's a Central Florida man who has a criminal history of impersonating law enforcement. In fact, you can see him here. He has gear and everything.
Here it comes. And then we have a backup.
Showing off all his gear.
Yeah.
So that way we can, for guys that forget their weapons.
He says we.
I make sure that they.
Like he's a cop.
Have their weapon for duty.
Good for you. Duty.
For duty.
He says that like he's a cop. He was arrested during a traffic stop when deputies say he was dressed as a police officer while riding on a motorcycle and carrying a weapon. They spotted him traveling on I-4 among other motorcyclists who mirrored law enforcement, according to the arrest. The group of riders were dressed in yellow polo shirts with screen print and markings of police-type shields and badges. So this guy's got friends now.
This is so weird. Can you imagine if there was somebody who just showed up to the studio every day or like one day? And they had headphones and like, I'm the new person on the show. And they just like,
okay,
have the confidence to pretend they have this gig. Clearly to me, it's a weird mental issue that these people
definitely
are having.
A mental issue, but to convince others of it is fascinating.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting. And there's not been a documentary on that either. And I think that would be pretty cool to watch, actually.
They said he was the writer leading the group. In the on I-4, they say DeWitt did not intend to use the weapon for personal protection. The weapons magazine was empty. It was just for appearance that he was carrying a firearm.
Yeah.
He also had a bulletproof vest on, which, as a convicted felon, that's another thing he's not allowed to have.
Just
keeps continuing to impersonate law enforcement, and it's like an obsession.
For the record, C-Lane, you're on the home stretch here on This Week in Florida. Almost nobody remembers the all-white thing at the beginning. You got past that. You're in redemption territory. This is going to end with all the humdingers and all the bazingas and all of the panache that you promised.
You could do it.
All-white, let's continue.
Oh.
This next story is going to make you want to check yourself. Or at least
before
check.
Before or after?
Before you wreck yourself. Because you could wreck yourself on this.
Wrecking bad Jesus is bad for your health.
You're going to want to check your home after watching this, because in Groveland, Florida, a family was in shock after finding out their clothes dryer had a snake living in it. And, here's the report.
New at 7, it was not what one family expected.
Can
to
you
find
see that thing?
Dryer.
You're going to see it bigger.
Not a single sock. They spotted
it's pretty big. Huge. It's ginormous.
The Pring family in Groveland who says this was not a fun surprise.
The Preen family had a little bit of trouble with their dryer Thursday.
All right, the weekend, and get ready for the camera inside the dryer shot.
And we'll nice transition.
It's the Alton Brown of newscasts.
I like it.
Underwear or a toy, they found an actual snake.
There's a baby Yoda.
That's what caused the motor to blow.
Allison Preen says she found this snake.
There we go. Look at how big that thing is.
That is huge.
So is it alive?
It's definitely dead.
It looks toasted, like burnt up in there.
Well, because it was in the motor of the dryer. So that thing, that gigantic snake, got in the dryer by slithering its way in the vent.
Man.
So your dryer has a vent that the exhaust, it's not exhaust, but...
So like outside my house right now where the studio is, there's some kind of thing where a snake could get in?
Right, yes. I mean, most people have some sort of grate over there to prevent such a thing from happening.
Huh. I know what I'm doing after the show.
And go check on your vents to make sure.
Oh, I bet their clothes smelled so bad. If it was dead and rotten for a little bit.
Well, I mean, it got in and around the tumbler there. I almost said the tank. Okay. It's not really a tank, but it got in and around the thing and then like caused the motor to die out because it was all tangled in there and dead. And that's the biggest snake I never want to see.
Maybe he wanted to be done with life. Maybe the snake was in the world.
Maybe it was.
Maybe
but,
it was wet and it just needed a.
There was a story,
quick tumble.
Real quick, Sabrina, yesterday about this guy who lost. What did he lose? $10,000 or something in China?
It was like nine-ish grand.
He worked at like a metal factory, like where they have those molten things, you know, like the like really really hot, and he. To off himself, he just jumped in there.
Whoa.
He just like...
Was he completely encased?
Yeah, he like jumped into the forge. Like just like jumping into lava or something. I said, wow.
He's going to be part of like a steel beam somewhere. Yeah, There's no way you can filter
like
that body out.
The Star Wars thing.
Remember? Yeah, he might. He might
have liked that.
May he rest in peace.
There is a quote-unquote doctor, I didn't put it in quotes, the story did, in Jacksonville that has been arrested and charged with practicing or attempting to practice medicine without a medical license, which is another common thing we hear in This Week in Florida. This one was performing Botox treatments, and they call it one of the most bizarre cases that Director Mike Bruno with the Sheriff's Office has come across. They received a tip from another law enforcement agency saying that Nelson Turin was performing Botox treatments without a medical license and without the appropriate state certifications. He was doing these little parties that he called Bubbles and Botox, where he would bring these women in and Botox them while drinking Four Loco and champagne.
Sounds awesome.
That's a good time.
The Botox was for the clients. The Bubbles, that was for the clients and the doctor. They said Turin was also consuming champagne and Four Loko, which is a malt beverage. Thank you, News 4 Jax. He would do this during the patient consultations while he would sit down and have the patient on the table, basically telling him what they do, what he would need to do, what kind of service would be provided, yada, yada, yada. If you ever want to go on a joyride, I think this one was great. Alachua County, somebody got a 1959 EMD GP18 locomotive. Basically,
a train?
A train. They went on a train joyride.
Yeah.
What's suspicious about this is they say it happened between Wednesday and Sunday. They figured out that they took this train on a joyride. It damaged two $30,000 switches.
Man.
But they don't know exactly when it was. Let's see. Somebody broke a Guinness World Record by watching Avengers Endgame 191 times. And last but not least, DUI suspect. After transporting a Florida woman to jail following her arrest on DUI charges at a McDonald's drive-thru, cops discovered she had an 8-pack of vodka stuffed in her bra.
Wow.
Tiny little bottles just for the next drink and the next one and the next. And that's it for This Week in Florida.
Thank you, C-Lane. We're watching some alerts coming through that say the U.S. Capitol building's in lockdown after reports of two Capitol police officers shot. There aren't many details really about this, but we'll keep an eye on it and see what else we can find to make sure everything is okay there at the Capitol building. Plus, when we come back, there's so much more to get to today. We still haven't done the greatest story in the world. We're going to have Moses DeWitt, our attorney, join us. We'll give you the latest in the Derek Chauvin trial. And when we come back, a major medical and scientific breakthrough that you do not want to miss out on. Don't miss this, because this could be pretty amazing, especially if your child has this issue. It's coming up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You
know you can always text us.
Unless you're driving.
At 77031. Standard data and message rates apply. Real Mobile is powered by Orange Buick GMC and OrangeBuickGMC.com. We are professional grade.
From the...
Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie. It took me 16 years to find you. 1 second to love you. 7 years to hold you. 1 minute to lose you. Oh, God.
We'll go back to you, your dispatches from the News Junkie app. That's how you join the show. And don't be shy. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. You create an account. You record your message. It blasts off over to here. And then we can play you and whatever your thoughts are about what we're talking about on the show. I love these stories about science and medical breakthroughs. I think they're fantastic. I think there's so much hope out there. I think it's cool to see stuff like this. And this one in particular is going to resonate with those of you who might have a child with an issue like this, I'm sure. A child who suffers from a genetic disorder that causes blindness had their vision restored for a year through a single injection, according to a new study. Now, just imagine this. Researchers at Shai Eyes Institute in the University of Pennsylvania carried out a trial in which they inserted a single injection directly into a patient's eye, which sounds painful.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if it's going in the front door, but I'm picturing it right there in the center of your eyeball. Just an injection. But it's worth it if it can make you see, because whatever they did here, they helped out. They said the child suffers from a condition called Leber, L-E-B-E-R, Leber congenital amaurosis. I'm doing my best. A rare genetic eye disorder that affects children from infancy and is the leading cause of blindness in childhood. This was in the Nature Medicine Journal that we all three have subscriptions to.
Mm-hmm. I have two subscriptions.
Because we're super smart and we follow stuff like this. They said researchers had injected the child's eye with an intravitreal sepofarsin injection.
Whoa.
The injection is a treatment that has been designed specifically for patients with this disorder. And again, what a medical breakthrough. It's an RNA therapy, just like this is an RNA vaccine that we're seeing, or mRNA in some of these cases. These are huge breakthroughs that are going on. And they said the patient's visual function and retinal structure reached a substantial efficacy peak around 3 months after receiving the injection. There was sustained efficacy at 15 months, although there was an evidence of reduction in vision. So basically, this kid was blind. They jabbed him in the eye with this experimental treatment, and he was given his vision back. He could see again.
That technology is wild. To think, though, that it just lasts a year must be, well, I imagine if he was an adult, it'd be a bit stressful. Mm-hmm. Like any day now. It's just going to start going away.
Yeah.
Then you can't see. I remember when Brittany went for her LASIK eye procedure a few years ago, and I know you've done the same thing, Sean. It's just insane. I was supposed to be doing a video for the company while she was getting it done.
Yeah.
And I never released the video because you could see how I start to get very pale because he's explaining to me that they are shaving off layers.
Yeah.
And doing this. And Brittany's chatting it up with the doctor, and I am about to pass out and I'm sweating because the thought of anything cutting your eyeball is insane.
Well, I think that's programmed into us. We're taught to be like, hey, your eyes, you need them so bad. Because evolutionarily speaking, if you were to have an issue with your eyes, any time before the last 1,000 years or so, you were dead. You were absolutely dead. It's like an animal with albinism. You don't see a lot of them because they're dead. They can't hide. They're obvious to everybody else, and that problem leads to the end of that animal.
I didn't think about that for a second because I've never heard it called albinism.
Yeah.
I've only heard of an albino.
Yeah, like, I mean, like when you see like a white alligator or this, any animal can have albinism, but. So when you see this stuff, it's just incredible to me that they might be able to take people who are blind. And I'm not even talking about people who were born blind necessarily. I'm talking about people who have congenital issues where they start their life with vision. They have memories of being able to mm-hmm. see, and then they have memories of losing their ability to see. And that's traumatic, and those people feel like they've really lost something. Sometimes people who are born blind, they don't know what's what. They don't know what they're missing out on. But could you imagine if somebody was born blind, they're like 30-something years old, They jab them in the eye with this thing, and bam, just like you're turning on a television screen, their eyes light up and they can see the world for the first time. That would be insanely frightening for them, but mind-blowing, I would assume.
What's the first thing that they go to look at again?
If they're married, their husband or their wife, I would guess. And then imagine if you looked over and you're like, oh!
I forgot. You know what? Take it out.
God, I married you? You said you were hotter than this. I could see all kinds of weird things that would come up as a result of this, but I love to see those stories.
I for some reason, it's not that I know that it's a very touching moment, mm-hmm. but I've just seen so many of them that it's almost guaranteed that you have those videos where a family puts their money all together and then they gift their color blind father.
Yeah, the glasses.
The glasses, and then they immediately just take them off. They start crying.
It's too much!
Start crying. They've seen tree color for the first time.
And that's if you're seeing some extra colors and something more vivid. Imagine if you couldn't see anything, and all of a sudden, bam, like the lights are going on. That is absolutely awesome, and I cheer on all the folks who work on stuff like that. Real quick for everybody. There have been around the country a lot of these anti-lockdown protests, and this one in particular was in Brussels. You're going to see more and more of this. I'd be surprised if you didn't see this in Canada, where they're hitting this emergency break. People are done with it. We can't have just an eternally rolling lockdown situation. We've got the vaccine. The priority needs to be to get the vaccine out. And honestly, the absolute science and research on just the lockdowns in general is pretty unclear as to whether or not it's helping out more than it's hurting in these situations. So, that said, anti-lockdown protest is going on in Brussels. And what these people did as an April Fool's Day prank is they pretended like they were having a concert. They had a flyer that said there was going to be 8 stages and a number of DJs and all this stuff, but there was nobody there. One woman in particular shows up. I want you to watch this as I play the video here. We could show this for everybody because I think it's censored, C-Lane. So this woman jumps out onto the field and she's going to take her clothes off to be a streaker. And as she's taking her clothes off, she turns her back to the cops. And one of the cops on the horse just plows into her.
Oh.
Watch this. Here it is right here. You see him? Boom! Just absolutely took her down.
Oh, and she got laid out.
Yeah, it's pretty intense, the amount of contact. Boom! Ooh. And she doesn't move. Once she hits the ground, she was able to get her top off, and then right then, boom!
She had no idea it was coming.
No, so she's like knocked out cold. Everybody runs over to see if she's okay, and that's got to be a lot of damage done to her where this horse plowed into her. This happening on... in Brussels, I guess I should say. I'm going to put that up in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app for everybody.
Is it clear that the officer did it on purpose? Like, is there not a...
I don't know. I mean, to me, it looks like this whole thing was an accident. Like, the officer maybe was... There's so much going on, they didn't see it, but who knows? She definitely got hit very hard by that. I'll also put it up, as I'm saying, in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. So if we talk about something that you cannot see that's visual in nature, like this, you download the app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store, and you go to See It Now, and voila, there it is. We'll be back in just a moment with all the top legal stories of the day and the week, and our attorney, Moses DeWitt of the DeWitt Law Firm. Stay put, we're back in just a moment. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
No one gives a big warm hug like us when you need it. Come on, get in here. Tell your smart device to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio. What?
This
Radio.
Radio.
If you're not confused, you are not paying attention. This is the News Junkie.
Sent her to heaven. You sent her to heaven.
Jury duty coming up in just a moment. Got everything going on in the Derek Chauvin trial going on in Minneapolis, which is where George Floyd was killed in this famous video now. That rolls on into its the fifth day as we roll into the weekend here, and many other things that we need to talk to him about. So let's just get into it. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention
before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass.
You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
Let's welcome Moses DeWitt.
Yeah! Hey, guys.
There he is.
There he is, Moses. Good to see you, my friend.
Mo.
If you are in an accident, this is the guy you need on your side. And you can reach him by calling 866-CALL-MO, 866-CALL-MOE. It's very simple, and I think this resonates with people. At least I hope it does. You're smarter than they think you are. You watch all these commercials, and they tell you how big these law firms are. Oh, it's the biggest law firm. We're biggest in town, and this and that. Big is not always a good adjective to have along with what you're looking for. In this case, that means you're going through a boiler room full of salespeople. Maybe you get to a paralegal. Maybe one day you get to an attorney.
It's Do you have your confirmation number? That's all you're... Do you have your invoice number? Do you have your number?
You're going to be on one of those phone calls where you're like, you speak to the robot instead of hitting the buttons. And it never works.
I couldn't understand that. I'm sorry.
A lot of frustrations
you
with this stuff.
You can't cough, you can't breathe, or you start the whole process over.
It's all obnoxious, and it's based on you thinking that you're lucky to have them be your attorney. They're not going to be your attorney. It's going to be some underling there. You want Moses DeWitt as your attorney because he's going to tackle your case head on. He goes up against the insurance companies all the time and fights for people just like you. Put some personal skin in the case. You know, so you'll see him, he'll see you. You guys will get to know each other, and he'll know your case more importantly. Those other billboard attorneys, you can walk right by them. They have no idea who the hell you were. That's just a fact. 866-CALL-MO. 866-CALL-MO. You, your friend, your sister, your brother, your enemy, whoever it is, if you want to be nice, you tell them after an accident. 866-CALL-MO. All right, Moses. So one of the things I want to talk about here, this whole Derek Chauvin trial has been going on for the last, this is the fifth day or so of this thing. And yesterday there was somebody who was supposed to testify, and they said this guy was supposed to be the star witness, okay? And then they said he's going to invoke the Fifth Amendment. So once they say he's told us he's going to invoke the Fifth Amendment, nobody even calls him up as a witness to begin with. So I do some digging after the show yesterday, and I find out the main reason why he didn't testify, he had some warrants out and this and that, but he knew that they were going to ask him, the defense was going to ask him, did you sell these drugs, the fentanyl, to George Floyd? Did you sell the fentanyl and the meth that he was on at the time of this incident to George Floyd? And if he answered yes, it would be incriminating himself, hence the reason for the Fifth Amendment. Is there nothing that can make it so people can help out with cases, but you can't go after them and whether or not they were the person who also committed a crime?
So, I mean, the prosecution would have to grant them immunity in order for them to be able to testify. Oh. So if they're granted immunity, then they can't raise the Fifth anymore because there's no possibility of it being incriminating. Otherwise, they can plead the Fifth. And, you know, depending on what side of the case you're on, you may or may not want the jury to see that because it may create an inference.
But why? So the only person that can grant the immunity is the prosecutor. So was this the defense's witness?
You know, this was both witnesses. It was going to be the star prosecution witness too, I think, but the defense was going to ask this question. Why wouldn't the prosecution say we're going to give you immunity, and then this is not it's a moot issue, and he can talk about he was sitting right in the car next to George Floyd. He had all kinds of insight.
Well, I mean, so let's think about it for a second. The defense here is most likely going to be something to do with involving the drugs, at least part of their defense, correct?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So if you're the prosecution, you probably want to limit the amount of testimony that comes in regarding those drugs as far as what kind of drugs they were, the amount that they were, because obviously the defense's tactic is going to be partially at least to blame the death of George Floyd on the drugs rather than the actions of the officer.
Right.
So if you're looking at it from the prosecution's strategy standpoint, if they're the only ones who have the ability to grant that individual immunity, and they grant it, then he can testify to all that.
Yeah.
If they don't grant it, then they know it's less likely that he's going to testify to that because he doesn't want to incriminate himself, which probably helps their case.
So a byproduct of this is, number one, the defense goes, well, we're not going to question him because he's just going to invoke the Fifth Amendment and we'll be wasting our time. Number two, the prosecution's like, good, we didn't want more talk about the drugs in testimony anyway.
Yeah, this sounds like the prosecution's way of squelching testimony.
Yeah, I mean, basically is. So they're using it as a strategic tactic, which they're certainly welcome to do. I mean, you know, because you know, they don't just hand out immunity, you know, left and right either.
Yeah.
So it's not going to, the only time they would hand out immunity is most likely if it benefited their case. And here it doesn't seem to do that.
C-Lane, pop up the questions that we usually have for Mo. Is there anything on there? I know we've had some recently.
No, we had a couple. First off, there was a man we talked about last week, and he recently was let go from a job or parted ways with a job, and they paid his last paycheck in a wheelbarrow full of pennies.
Yeah.
That was bad.
And which is annoying, and they're like, you know, but it's money, so they technically paid him. However, they mix the pennies with like oil and grease, rendering them, you can't put them in like a coin star. They now have to be cleaned off.
The guy was doing it individually, which we all agreed might have been ridiculous. It was a lot.
And that sort of renders the money temporarily unusable. I mean, you can't like pay some guy all in ones and rip them all in half. That would be what was the term we came up with?
Destroying currency,
desecration of currency in some form or fashion. Does he have any sort of recourse to say that
you have to pay me, but you also have to pay me in usable currency?
Yeah,
right.
Well, you know, not something I deal with every day, obviously, but I mean, technically
shocking, Moses.
And actually, if you're off topic, but I did have someone who paid their consult fee one time in pennies.
Oh.
They rolled a baby carriage here with $100 in pennies.
What?
They were in rolled containers.
Were they mad at you?
Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
No, I think they were just a little bit wacky.
Okay.
But they came in with a baby carriage, which, you know, okay, you bring your baby to the lawyer's office. It happens every once in a while, not a big deal. But then they proceeded to pull rolls of pennies out of the baby carriage. I think we still have those pennies in the office. We've never walked them to the bank.
One of my favorite stories about the DeWitt Law Office, and tell me if I get this wrong, Moses, but there was once a homeless man who got wind that the lobby in the DeWitt office is stacked. And there's candy bars and there's all kinds of goodies. And he got brave and he just went up the elevator, went into the DeWitt Law Office and started helping himself to everything he could get his hands on.
I do the same exact thing. I've yet to be caught.
Full amateur. Bars. Yeah.
Only correction there was a woman.
Oh, was it?
And then when I asked her, you know, if I could help her, she proceeded to ask me if she could have a bottle of water, which I went and got her a bottle of water. Then once I gave her that, she asked if I had a calendar for her. Okay. At that point,
well,
said,
did you, know, you, Moses?
We're fresh out. We're
I like
fresh
how out of calendar. Moses is okay with the water, with all the candy bars, and then like, you know, the calendar is too much. You've taken it too far here.
All right, draw the line.
Where is she gonna hang it? Really?
What?
She'd obviously put it in her pocket.
What else do we have, C-Lane?
There was a story today about a resort in Kissimmee that a bunch of people had booked ahead of time. A bunch of people were staying there. It was this hotel that people were spring breaking at. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the hotel gets sold and they close up and they tell everybody, you got to get out of here. So all these people who had these reservations, they not only have to leave, but they're not offering refunds at all. And they just put them out on the street and you're on your own. And that money's gone.
Something about that seems really wrong, Moses.
Isn't there some sort of contract you enter in with a hotel when you check in that would ensure that something like this doesn't happen?
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing if they're going to say that they're not going to honor the contract and not going to provide them with a room, but if they're going to, which is probably allowed in their contract if you read it, but if they're going to do that, they're going to most likely have to refund the unused portion of the reservation. And so I don't know if this was a traditional sale or a foreclosure sale, but usually if a property, like a leased property, was being sold, the new owner takes the property subject to all the leases. Now, with a hotel, that's a little different because, you know, you have a license to use the room versus an actual lease. So that license can be revoked at any time. but they can't just keep the money and not deliver on the service right. that they were supposed to.
You got to do one or the other. Yeah.
Right.
So, I didn't know that was a license to use the room.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I'm sure a lot of these people are pissed off, and now they don't have the money to go get another hotel room. They've already spent their budget on the place that then kicked them out unceremoniously. It's just, I'm sure, incredibly frustrating.
I would assume that's the case if they're staying at a resort in like Kissimmee.
Kissimmee, yeah.
One of those places where, like, hey, you know, we're that's the place where you stay when you're going to Disney for one day and the rest of the days are all, like, Old Town and various other cheaper tourist attractions.
Yeah, we also had this story about this local Florida-based politician, Matt Gaetz, Moses. And he's in trouble for all kinds of stuff. Like, this dude.
Like, for ruining my dreams and making yourself look like a nightmare?
They are alleging that he was with somebody who was underage and that he bought a ticket with her. So that's, like, maybe trafficking of this person or sex trafficking. They also said, and here's where I have a legal question for you. There's all these reports. Let me show you one of them here. This is CNN talking about the new updates in the Matt Gaetz case.
Meanwhile, sources tell CNN that Congressman Gaetz actually gained a reputation inside Congress over his relationships with women and even showed some of his fellow lawmakers some nude photos of women he said he slept with. Our congressional correspondent, Lauren Fox, is on this part of the story.
So they say, first of all, he was getting high with these ladies, allegedly, and doing ecstasy, et cetera, et cetera. But then he would show other lawmakers photos and videos of the nude women that he had been with. Now, this is not posting online what you would call revenge porn, but it's still showing it to other people. Is there anything to that? Or if it's not a public showing of a nude photo, is it not a crime?
So I'd have to read the statute. You know, the statute's only a few years old, maybe 5 years old at this point, where that used to not even be a crime at all until that revenge porn statute was posted. I'm going to guess that that statute says, you know, it has to be posted on the internet or some sort of public forum to where that wouldn't qualify necessarily as revenge porn, just showing it individually to, you know, people in person. But again, I have to go back and look at the statute and see the exact wording.
Weirdly enough, if that were to be the case, C-Lane could have a nude photo of somebody. And if he's going to school, if he's in high school or something, and he posts it to the internet, now he's caused a crime to occur, and he could be hit for revenge porn, et cetera, et cetera. But if he went around and personally showed each person one at a time at the school, thereby getting to the same exact audience, you might not have the same outcome. That's kind of weird to think about.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's designed more of a cyber harassment law. It was passed back in 2015. So, the point is really kind of the, since it's published, you know, to basically everywhere and anyone can access it on the internet, it has kind of broader consequences than the, you know, showing it to individual people one at a time.
Yeah. Last question I have for you here, Moses. My printer toner needs to be replaced, but point remains.
Look at that.
You see here, this
do you need me to come over and replace it? Is that the question?
This is, I printed out a COVID vaccination record card, and it's the exact same one that I have. It's literally the same thing, not filled out. You can download them, and then people could put in their own information. And there's nothing, there's no holograms, there's nothing to prevent you really from committing fraud on these COVID-19 vaccination record cards. And soon you might have to have these to fly or to be without a mask or to travel internationally. Everybody's going to be focused on these CDC cards. What if you were to download one of those and just fill out the information yourself? Are you committing a crime?
I think you are. And I don't know exactly what the crime is, but I know there were some people who got caught doing fake COVID reports to enter certain countries.
Yeah.
And I think it was France. I think they got arrested.
Oops.
I don't know what the crime would be. It's got to be some sort of federal crime, I'm sure. You know, falsifying documents or federal documents that are required to enter the country.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, if you fill it out yourself and you don't do anything with it, that's probably not a crime. But the second you use a falsified document to enter a country, then you're probably going to be facing some charges if they catch you.
All right, there you go, Moses DeWitt of the DeWitt Law Firm. Can't wait to see you in Jamaica, Moses.
Buddy.
I mean, I'm excited to have the romantic getaway with you, Sean.
Yeah. I booked us the candlelight dinner, Mo.
Right on the beach.
Fantastic.
Hey, listen, we're going to be doing resort casual on Thursday, so make sure to bring your fedora and Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, he's going to pack that anyways. He's going to be ready to go for this. All right, so
the only thing I'll be packing.
If you need an attorney, 866-CALL-MO, 866-CALL-MO. 866-MOE. Moses, we'll see you next week, bud.
Have a good one.
There he goes. We'll be right back in just a second with the greatest story in the world. Stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
The world's leading specialist at something that's probably amazing.
You just say words
to somebody,
and you hope at the end of the sentence they make sense.
Real Radio, 104.1.
From the...
On the bright side, we're not dead yet. You're listening to the News Junkie.
The greatest story in the world in just a moment. Lots of headlines about this incident at the Capitol. Looks like some lunatic crashed into a checkpoint, like where there's some barricades, and he had a knife and maybe cut one of these officers on the face, and they shot and killed this guy. There's some footage of him on the ground. They landed a chopper there, and you know they were preparing like there was another run on the Capitol. It looks like it was just one crazy person, but the story is still kind of rolling through this weekend, so we'll see what the latest is on that when we get a chance. Right now, I've got a swerve for you. But we're going to do it anyway. Let's do the greatest story in the world.
Hold on, folks, because we're about to do the greatest story in the world.
It is the greatest story in the world, and the trophy today goes to Rusty the German Shepherd.
Really,
congratulations,
it, Rusty.
Rusty the German Shepherd. You know why he gets the trophy today? Because he finally caught a break. Rusty the German Shepherd is from Waco, Texas. He was in shelters across Texas for 419 days. Then he was at the Humane Society of Central Texas, and they said somebody saw him and fell in love with old Rusty, said, we can take this dog, we can make the most of this. They had heard maybe about like the White House having some problems with their German Shepherd.
I saw some headline that's like, Major's been in the headlines, but why aren't dog experts saying anything?
Chime in, dog experts. Okay. What are you doing? This other German Shepherd is Rusty, and he was adopted, and that sounds fantastic. They said he was once an unruly puppy who excelled in behavioral training classes, and they said Rusty's original owners had surrendered him to the Humane Society of Central Texas when he was a puppy in February of 2020 because they said he was too hyper. He spent some time at a foster home before being shipped to a shelter in Idaho, which didn't work out on account of his not getting along with other dogs at the facility. After 2 months there, they sent him back to Waco, where the shelter said Rusty became depressed and frustrated, aww, causing him to act out in his kennel, and he was highly reactive towards other dogs.
Rusty.
But in November, he was adopted, and a new family sent him back to the shelter after 1 month for being destructive. So this has gone on and on and on for old Rusty, and he hit 419 days, and somebody showed up, and they said it looked like Rusty would get a new leash on life.
Cute.
When a couple came to the shelter looking for a rescue dog and took old Rusty home. So beautiful, beautiful ending, and that's why it's the greatest story in the world. Oh, I'm sorry. There's an update to this.
Oh, no. They brought Rusty back.
Sorry. One day after being adopted and brought to what looked like his forever home, he was returned to the Humane Society of Central Texas.
Rusty.
That's not a great story.
It's a great story until it comes to the bad part. Now we have to make it great again. All right? Make the story great again.
Make Rusty great again.
We got to make Rusty great here, and here's how we do this. We got to have somebody who's listening in Waco, Texas, and has a big property. You got a big old property, let this German Shepherd live out his life on your land. Give him some space to run around in and give Rusty the future that he really needs. Can you imagine this? They have shipped this dog all over the country. He's been given up by person after person after person. This couple comes in, they're like, we totally want a shelter dog. And when they go in to look at the shelter dog, like, this is the dog for us. And then they realize this dog's not easy to deal with. One day. They gave up on old Rusty the Hyper German Shepherd mix. So maybe, I believe
he's
this can
so
happen.
So cute.
I believe this can happen, Sabrina. I think that somebody who's listening can step up and go help out Rusty the shelter dog.
I think so, too. And it's just amazing to me that Rusty has made national news twice and still hasn't found his forever home.
No. And everybody's like, oh, look how adorable he is.
Did you see him?
Oh, hold on. I got to bring up another story because I'm getting hit.
Stop using your ad blocker.
No, this is a paywall this time. Rusty the German Shepherd is indeed more famous than he is homed at the moment.
You have too many. You've gotten to too many of the stories on that site.
You know what? Bring it up every day, and I don't read a single one of them. I'm not using it the way I should.
Maybe here if you paid for it, you would.
No, I'm not paying for the New York Daily News. They don't give me enough. Here he is right here. Texas dog adopted after 419 days in shelter. Returned after one day because he was too much work. And he is a cute little dog. I mean, look at him. This is not a full-on German Shepherd. I can tell you from this photograph here that Rusty is definitely a mix of dogs.
One half German Shepherd, the other half impossible to deal with.
Yeah, he's a little tough. But I know that there's somebody out there that has the space for this dog. I know that somebody can help him out.
Space, man.
There's somebody.
It's patience. You need patience and to give Rusty the life that he deserves.
What I think you're missing here is space makes less patience necessary. So if you have an apartment and you have Rusty the dog, who's, you know, he's got a rap sheet, he's got a criminal history, essentially. If you have an apartment, it's not going to work. He's going to drive you crazy. If you got a big old property and you might have a bunch of dogs out there, Rusty could probably go do his thing all day and then come back and eat some dog food and get some water, curl up on a bale of hay or something, and just live out his life. And that would be the greatest.
The adoption lasted less than 24 hours.
Isn't that crazy? These people. How could you turn this guy down? Look at his cute little face there. If I had the property and I was in Waco, Texas, I would do it. But somebody else is going to have to take the bullet here. Go help out Rusty the dog. And let's turn this story from a greatest story in the world to a worst story in the world, back to a greatest story in the world, because I think we could do that together, friends.
Well, you better keep up with Rusty then, man. You better put a Google News alert.
I'm going to have to. I'll put it out there. I'll put a Google News alert. Anybody else, if you see something, please do send it my way. Let's go to some of your dispatches from the News Junkie app. Here is Droopy Dog with a dispatch.
Hey, guys. Hey. I wanted to get on the Barnacle game that has been going on for a few days.
I thought we were done with
days.
That.
Yeah, me too. We talked about a story. What was the original story? Anybody remember? The hell was it?
No.
We were talking about barnacles.
The barnacles on the Evergreen?
Oh, yeah. Yes, because they had to clean the bottom of the Evergiven ship that was stuck sideways in the Suez Canal. And we said, imagine this thing, football fields long, and so wide, it's incredible, having to clean this thing up to take a look at it. And then we were talking about getting cut by barnacles. And that turned into a ton of dispatches from people with stories where they massacred themselves.
Just thinking about it.
I think Droopy Dog's going to do it, too.
And tell you guys about keel hauling. Back in the day, the Dutch Navy introduced keel hauling as a punishment to their sailors.
Yeah?
They would take them from one side of the boat. They would tie them up and then drag them along the bottom of the boat across the barnacles, which would shred them into ribbons. And then they would take them back up on the boat. And if they were still alive, they would keel haul them again.
Oh, my God!
And so, basically, this was the most gruesome punishment that I can think of.
Yeah, I could have gone without hearing that. But there's other dispatches on the way. Great ones, I'm sure. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store now. Let's go over to...
Yeah, I hate you right now.
that was dark, man.
It wasn't even a personal story.
No!
Like, I'm just going to tell you about how everyone else suffered back in the day.
Here's 772 Mateo with a first ever dispatch.
Hey, I want to just leave a dispatch about the animal bites. I know that was about a day or two ago. But
that's fine.
I got bit in the face, went over to a friend's house, and she had like a little pit bull or whatever. Or it might have been a bulldog or something like that. And I went down to pet it. She's like, oh yeah, it's nice, it's nice, it's nice. I'm like, cool. I go down to pet it, and then bam, it meets me halfway and nearly tore my nose off. Had to get 25 stitches.
Oh.
And I've known that girl since sixth grade. At the time, I was 18 when that happened. So it was about a year ago. And after that, never heard a word from her since.
Oh, she's worried about getting sued or something, maybe. Thank you.
There exists a video of me somewhere where I thought it would be a swell idea to feed beef jerky to a 100-pound pit bull.
Yeah. Okay. Not a good idea, huh?
From my mouth.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did it bite your face?
No, it did not.
Were you drunk when you made this decision?
Don't think I was yet. But
do you let your dog kiss you in the mouth, like the tongue in the mouth and stuff? Are you one of those dog owners?
I don't welcome it, but it happens.
Has Lexi's full tongue ever been inside your mouth?
Not the full tongue,
but three quarters.
It's gotten in there. Probably like a quarter to a third.
Oh,
but at this particular point, now I have the beef jerky hanging out of my mouth, and I go over to give it to this gigantic pit bull,
mm-hmm.
and he snapped up so fast and grabbed it, and then the after he's done, all you can see in the video is the look of terror on my face, like the realization that I almost just made a very stupid decision.
Yeah, that I remember being one time at it was a Circle K, I think. I'm not gonna remember. It doesn't matter that much, but it was on Royal Palm Beach Boulevard in Okeechobee, and some guy from the acreage where I grew up, it's like out in the woods and stuff, came up to the gas station, parked his car in front of the convenience store part, and he had like a mountain lion, like a Florida panther, I guess, a Florida panther on a chain. Like a badass, like, chrome chain that he had wrapped around it. And all these people started to gather at the car. They're like, oh, my God, it was Florida Panther in the passenger seat of his car. Not in a cage or anything, just in the passenger seat of his car, chilling next to him. And all these people start coming over to look in the window. And this little kid comes running out of the convenience store full speed. He's hauling ass.
Yay!
And he reaches his hand in the window to pet this Florida panther, and he had a beef jerky stick in his hand.
Oh, no.
And all you hear is like, rah! And that guy got that window up, screamed at everybody, and backed out of that parking spot within like 5 seconds. And boom, off and out of there.
Oh, good move. That kid should not have done
that. No, he shouldn't have. And the kid didn't get hurt, but it just set off this animal that was just chilling in the passenger seat of his car. A lot of weird things going on in the acreage growing up like that. Here's laying down the law with the dispatch.
Hello, snooze junkies.
Hey.
The lady in Brussels that was hit by the police horse.
Oh, just to recap, if you're just joining the show, in Brussels there was a lockdown protest, and a woman was in the middle of stripping off her clothes. She pulls off her shirt, and then she's about to try to pull off her pants, and a police horse is moving along at a good speed, and just plows into her. I think we put that up on See It Now, right, C-Lang?
It is.
Yeah, it's up. So you can check it out on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. If you don't have the app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store now.
Shouldn't a police horse be trained to not run into people unless there's like a specific order given by the officer riding it? I just think that should be in police horse training. Don't run over people.
Honestly, I don't know if the horse even saw it.
No, I don't think so. If you watch the video, it's kind of hard to explain, but the horse was kind of being pulled in a different direction, too, and this woman just happened to scoot right into the worst possible spot, and then she doesn't see it coming. She gets completely knocked out, and she's just topless laying on the ground. Here is Manapoint with a dispatch.
This is for Armina. Armina was a 9-year-old Doberman that passed peacefully last night.
Aww.
Her name meant Warrior Princess, and she lived up to her name. She protected my nieces and nephews from being attacked by a wild dog once. She was the mother of 2 litters. She single-handedly took out 3 coyotes one time when they were attacking our chickens.
Jesus! Like the Revenant.
She was a wonderful dog, a sweet, loving companion. And to her, I say cheers, prost, sláinte, bottoms up. And we'll meet again one day on the Rainbow Bridge.
Aww.
Rest in peace, Armina. How
do I... On the other hand, sounds like you got room for Rusty the dog, because one dog out, one dog in. Now Rusty the dog finds a home. Manapoint, get over there right now to Waco and adopt that dog. Sorry for your loss. Here's Betty with a dispatch.
Hey, yo, what's going on, News Junkie and crew?
Hey,
during This Week in Florida, C-Lane was talking about old boy Jeremy DeWitt. If you want to go down a rabbit hole on YouTube, you got to check this dude out. He is a complete psycho when it comes to impersonating a cop. He hides behind the fact that he's doing a funeral escort service But he's got cars that look like cop cars. They got sirens. They got air horns. They've got the lights. It is bonkers.
So this guy has a business where he has excuses for buying all of the products that make him look more and more like a cop.
Except for, you know, the guns part.
Yeah. He's allowed to have guns.
Yeah, but
he's not allowed to carry them and pretend like he's a cop.
Correct.
That's the crazy thing. It's so weird.
Actually, he's a felon, so he's not really.
Oh, is he really?
Guns. Yeah.
Okay, so he's doing a lot of bad stuff then. And he had a gun on him when they found him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he had a weapon.
If you missed that, make sure you go back to the podcast and check out This Week in Florida on the Friday show. Always on Friday shows on iHeartRadio or elsewhere. Search for The News Junkie and subscribe to the podcast. When we come back, we've been sort of chronicling this whole battle back and forth between people going through the drive-thru and fast food workers on the other side. They're yelling at each other. Yeah. There's been blow-ups going both ways.
Lots of fights.
It's gone up a little bit in terms of the aggression level. We'll talk about this next. Stay right there. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
You know you can always text us.
Unless you're driving.
At 77031. Standard data and message rates apply. Real Mobile is powered by Orange Buick GMC and orangebuickgmc.com. We are professional grade.
From the...
Cooking up today's lead stories. This is the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Hey, thanks for hanging out with us today. As we head into Easter weekend. And for those of you who are fans of the show and maybe you bought our last shirts, that is in the production process right now. We already got them. They look great. They're all ready to go. Sabrina is doing this round, so she'll be packaging those up this Easter weekend with love and care and affection and sending them off over to you. So you'll probably be getting emails about the Death to Robots design heading over to you very, very soon. You can follow us all on social media as well. At The News Junkie on Everything Is Me. So Facebook.com/The News Junkie, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. Follow all of those socials if you don't mind.
Facebook,
it'll be appreciated.
Instagram, Twitter, y'all see me?
And as well, you can find Sabrina on social media. It's at SavvyCatCat on TikTok. And I think everything else is just all together Sabrina Amber, right?
Yes. At Sabrina Ambra, and I hope you enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you for keeping it simple. C-Lane is like, this one's
a
this.
Gross, man.
This one's
really?
A this. Also, C-Lane the other day finally brought up, after all these years, almost a decade of doing this show, he's like, why do you just write my name as C-L-A-N-E?
Yeah,
it's
there's a dash in it.
Dash L-A-N-E, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know. I'm trying to get better at this. So where do people find you, C-Lane?
C_Lane on Twitter, because they didn't let me do a dash.
Somebody else took that one?
Yeah, and Clane86 on Instagram.
And the other Chris Lane is a country singer out there, so don't follow that guy. Give all your followers directly to this Chris Lane. We've been chronicling on the show this rise in violence for some reason between people who are going through the drive-through and people who are working in the drive-through. And now it's really gone up a notch here. Listen to this story, okay? This happened in Waldorf, Maryland, which sounds like it should be a sleepy little town, but not so much. Happened a Wednesday of this week, and a car plowed into a group of people outside of a Taco Bell because they were employees that he was fighting with just a moment before. And it was just absolute pandemonium. The local news picked up on it and everything. Listen to this.
North Maryland police say an argument at a Taco Bell drive-thru last night ended with a car hitting several people and then driving straight into the restaurant. We're going to play you the video that's been posted to Twitter, but we are warning you, it is graphic.
It is. It's graphic.
Bro,
you hear that? That was somebody right through the windshield of this thing.
I am not a huge fan of the confrontation videos at the drive-thru, May I suggest doing that instead of plowing someone with your car?
Yeah, I'd rather have people yelling at each other
than...
Just do
the cursing and do the stuff that you're on the internet. I'm going to get the local news and no one's hurt.
Nobody dies that
way. Well, physically hurt, maybe emotionally.
This is a situation where somebody's taking it to the next level and you're using your car as a weapon, for God's sake.
Charles County authorities say this happened just after 10 o'clock last night at a Taco Bell on Smallwood Drive.
It's just a Taco Bell, friend.
We're watching the video there again. The people inside the car reportedly got into an argument with a drive-thru employee. Police say at one point someone got out of the car, assaulted that employee, then got back inside the car. The driver then drove, as you saw, through the front door, hitting a group of people out front, including employees. Three people were injured, none of them with life-threatening injuries. And
thank God. It could have been a hell of a lot worse. Everybody stop fighting at the fast food places. There's no reason for this. Another big story making the rounds is Hunter Biden, who is the son of the president of the United States of America, has been finally doing some interviews. So they kept Hunter Biden real quiet during the campaign because Hunter Biden has a lot of personal demons, major drug problems, this laptop that leaked out there with unbelievably shocking photographs of him smoking crack and with all sorts of people and all sorts of undress. There's like nude photos, all kinds of stuff. And there was lots of stories about Hunter Biden, but he has released his own book, and in the book, he talks about doing drugs and all the stuff that he was involved in, and there was some intense stuff in this. Here he is opening up about one particular incident. This was, I believe, during the 2020 election. So as we're watching all this stuff happening behind the scenes, although it didn't get much reporting, this was going on, and here's Hunter Biden telling the story.
And your father chased you?
Yeah, because I tried to get into the, I tried to go to my car.
Joe Biden's
my
girl, obviously.
Literally blocked the door of my car. She said, Dad, please, you can't, no.
Yeah.
This was the hardest part of the book to write. And he grabbed me.
And?
In a hug. Mm-hmm. He grabbed me. He put bear hug.
Obviously getting very emotional talking about this. He was super addicted to all kinds of stuff. And they tried to have this intervention because of his drug use. And Hunter Biden was like, all right, I'm out of here. And then his dad stops and he just hugged him. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And then he's pretty honest about this part. I thought this was interesting.
He just cried. He said, I don't know what to do.
Dad. It's weird.
Please.
What did you think when you heard that?
I thought, I need to figure out a way to tell him that I'm going to do something so that I can go take another hit.
Yeah. Damn.
It's the only thing I could think. Literally, that's how powerful.
Yeah.
I don't know of a force more powerful than my family's love, except addiction.
That's crazy. I like that level of honesty there where he's like, he could have said, in that moment, I knew my dad was such a great leader and he was going to be president. And
everything changed.
Yeah, I was swearing off drugs.
I stopped drugs immediately.
The most honest thing in the world is he's like, I wanted to find out what I could tell my dad and my kids so that they would let me get in the car so I could go get high again. Like, that's deep, man.
And on top of it, it shows, like, how much work has been done. And I think there's a lot of people that could have that same testament. Because he lives to tell the tale.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sure even thinking that, a tiny part of his brain sparks and is like, you sure you don't want to take one more?
Look, if you've ever met somebody...
And he does that for the rest of his life.
Yeah, anybody who's ever been really addicted to something, they're always fighting it. Even if you've been sober for 20 years. Remember DJ AM, the famous celebrity DJ?
Yes.
Got into that plane crash with Travis Barker, the drummer for Blink-182. They survived the plane crash and they got all burned up in it and stuff. And then he was working on a reality show at MTV that caused him, he was talking about his past drug use and he was talking about how he used to smoke crack. So they had him go into the store and they had DJ AM buy a crack pipe. And he's like, you know, here it is. Here's how you do it. And it pushed him mentally. He got back into drugs and within a couple of months, he overdosed and died. And it's crazy. It's always with you.
Insane to think about. I used to work with a lot of sober people at one of the restaurants back in the day, and one of the girls had relapse. Like, she didn't show up for her shift, and I was like, something's going on. And the other sober liver that was living with us was like, all right, gotta go. Went into action, called his buddies, and, I don't know, saved her life, essentially.
You're going to see a lot of the clips of Hunter Biden's interview, I'm sure, making the rounds out there. We'll take your dispatches as we roll on today. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store now. When we come back, we got the final dispatches, got the stories that didn't make the cut, and today I learned to wrap everything up for a Friday. So stay right where you are. We're back to wrap it up for the whole week next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Game of Magnets. 5 years of absolute chaos continues with you. It's the News Junkie.
Final dispatches. Stories that didn't make the cut. And today I learned to wrap everything up for a Friday. A quick update on what's happening at the Capitol. So if you missed this earlier, there was a bunch of reports that something had gone down. A chopper landed like right in front of the Capitol, which is very unusual. Now we know that somebody had driven their car into this barrier where two Capitol police were standing. The person, I think, had a knife. They went up and allegedly cut the face of one of these Capitol police officers. And now ABC News reports the suspect is dead. The external security threat is located, and all of that has been neutralized, so there's no current security threat. There's still no entry or exit permitted at the time in the Capitol, and the Capitol police are given a briefing on what's happening here. So
almost to the date of when they thought the second one was going to happen.
The second
Remember, it was March 4th? They were like, there was rumors going around, so they increased the security over there. Nothing ever happened. And then here we are almost exactly a month later.
Yeah, that's when they put up all those big fences and all that stuff. And they have just started taking that down. I don't know if it's all down yet. And this is like, oh, well, here's a reason to put it back up. And you don't want that. This person was neutralized very quickly, and he's the only one who seems to be dead in this situation. And I'm sure we'll hear more about motive and whatever. And whoever this person lines up with politically will use it to dunk on the other person, and we'll all be better humans for it, right? That's what happens every single time when you do this stuff. And we always kind of discount the idea that so many of these people are just absolutely crazy. So whoever side he ends up on, you probably shouldn't want this person anywhere near you to begin with. So let's get into the final dispatches. Here we go. Let's see what we got here. Here's Limerick Lover with a dispatch.
Happy Friday, junkies.
Yeah.
So I hear there's this big party in Jamaica. If I was going myself, I would take you. Sabrina's bringing the grass. C-Lane's bringing that ass. Sean, if you don't want to play along, well, they'll make you.
Hey.
Have a blast at Hedo, guys. Wiggle, wiggle.
Not hedonism.
We're not going to hedonism, no.
We're going to Sandals, Jamaica, my friend.
But very nice poem.
Yeah, thanks for the limerick. Here's Hanan. He's got a dispatch for us.
Hey, guys. So I tracked down Rusty online and saw, like, a super recent posting, you know, giving people the opportunity to apply to adopt him. And so I clicked on it and tried to go through the application process to see what they would require and all that. And it says that his page is no longer available.
Oh,
well, maybe they got him.
Something definitely happened.
Got him one way or another.
Whether it's good or bad, I don't know.
They put him down.
We don't know. I don't want to speculate. Could have been something terrible happened.
What are you doing, man?
But it could have been great.
Yes.
Either way, I think we're going to be updated pretty soon. Peace out.
Good luck, Rusty the dog. Poor dog. Nobody wanted to adopt him. Finally, over a year goes by. Over 419 days go by, or 419 days exactly go by. Some couple goes, we want a shelter dog. We want a rescue dog. They adopt Rusty, the German Shepherd. They bring him back within 24 hours. Right, Celine? You said they didn't even make
it. Less than 24 hours, yeah.
Didn't even make it a day. And there he is back at the facility. So maybe somebody sees this, like I said.
Something tells me that family got, like, no sleep.
Yeah, yeah. He's probably a crazy, very energetic dog, but somebody out there is the right fit for him. I believe it. Let's do one more here. Here's Unexplained Bacon with the dispatch.
All right, News Junkies, have fun in Jamaica next week. And I want to remind all the listeners and dispatchers, the FCC has no power in Jamaica. Let those four-letter words fly.
No.
That's not true.
It'll still be played here, homie.
Yeah, that's not how it works. Quick note, I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us all week long for 4 hours on Real Radio 92.1 and 101.7. It's been awesome spending some extra time with you. We're going to get you all set off toward the Love Doctors in a second here. If you enjoy getting all of the show, we can always do it podcast style. So if you get podcasts on iHeartRadio, which I hope you do, follow over there to get each and every show as C-Lane posts those after we're done. Or wherever you get podcasts, search for the News Junkie. just cash it out. Well, you got to go get your shot, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right after the show?
Then I have to come back here and get a whole bunch of stuff done so that we're all ready and set for the big trip.
Yeah, it's getting closer and closer and closer. All right. So, thanks to everybody there for hanging out with us. And hopefully we can do more of this soon. Let's do the stories that didn't make the cut, brought to you by Nation's Trucks. If you want the truck of your dreams, it's waiting for you. It's on the lot, baby. It's right there at nationstrucks.com, the biggest selection of lifted trucks in the state of Florida. What do we have here? They say, you have talked before, Sabrina, about these train videos that are, what do they call it?
Slow-mo TV or slow motion.
Slow-tainment or something about slow. And people watch these videos of a train journey for like 8 to 10 hours. Mm-hmm. Nothing really exciting happens.
But it has very high ratings.
And now they're doing it with cab rides. People are doing these with cab rides, and there's been a spike in the viewership of them. There's more than 8,000 videos. They can be hours of a journey through a city from one place to another, just like you're sitting in the back of a cab looking out the window.
I have to start filming all my Ubers.
Yeah, just have a side business out of this. Nothing wrong with that. What else do we have? There's a new series out about John Wayne Gacy. If you haven't seen it, that's supposed to be very good. A suspected drug dealer was pulled over by authorities in Michigan. They said, "What's your name?" He gave a fake name. The fake name had warrants, so they arrested him anyway.
Whoopsie.
And that'll do it for today and the week. Cheers, everybody.
Well,
We're all without. Let's just do it. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is. Today I Learned for a Friday, April 2nd, 2021. Today I Learned sponsored by J. David Tax Law. Peace of mind is only a click or a phone call away. Today I Learned this movie series.
Austin Powers.
That's right, Austin Powers. Baby. Little Vern Troyer, known for his role as Mini-Me in the Austin Powers series. R.I.P. Vern. He began his career as the stunt double for an infant in the movies, the movie Baby's Day Out. He was the stand-in. I didn't know that they did that, but I guess that's a thing. They need somebody to stand in for the babies, so they just have little people do it.
That's really funny.
And there he did. That's how he started out. He was in a
lot
of movies.
Does that mean that he was being like held like a baby?
Yeah, they could put him in like a bassinet. I'd love to see that. He was in tons and tons of movies over the years, by the way, including the Austin Powers series. Today I learned there is a baseball player named Satchel Paige. You may have heard of him. He was the oldest Major League Baseball debutant at 42 years old, as well as the oldest player to play a Major League game just 2 weeks shy of 60.
Wow.
He was playing at 58 years old. Cheers to Satchel.
Cheers,
Satchel. Yeah, to something we'll never do at 60, right?
Not even on my best day.
I couldn't even play baseball at 16, let alone 60.
Today I learned this cellist.
Yo-Yo Ma. Buck.
That's right. Yo-Yo Ma's primary performance instrument is the cello. It's named Petunia, and it was built by Domenico Modugno in 1733. It is worth $2.5 million.
Damn!
Because it's Yo-Yo Ma's, or just
a little bit
in
of
general?
Man, a little bit of both.
If only Beep Boop sold it, it'd be worth a lot more.
That's true. Isn't that, that is insane to me. Somebody the best in their craft, you sell an NFT worth nothingness. Nothingness to some idiot.
By the way, I got a line. Someone heard my call about an NFT expert. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm going to get a list of questions, look at the links you sent me, might have some answers next week.
All right. Today I learned the Venus flytrap is available all over the world through cultivation, but it only grows naturally in one place, North and South Carolina. Today I learned this guy.
High-pitched Eminem.
That is high-pitched Eminem. Dick. You know how hard I looked for the clean version of this without a high pitch? Uh-huh. I searched the whole planet. The album The Eminem Show is the third best-selling album of the 21st century, selling over 27 million copies. It's also one of the best-selling albums of all time and the best-selling album of 2002. won Rap Album of the Year at the Grammys. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. Stay right where you are. Either the Love Doctors or the Jim Colbert Show is coming up next. More talk.
Oh, my gosh. Again.
As we roll on Real Radio.